And now, dumps.
Chris, there's been no sort of hiccups, so to speak. So we're just waiting for that big dump that's happening right now.
We are due to get what should be a pretty big dump.
We got a dump, Laura, at 9 o'clock East Coast time.
We expect another deposit dump, if you will.
So far, the first dump here looks pretty good.
Two dumps today.
I think that you will see a big dump today.
And you'll see a big dump of that early in the evening.
It's been a little slower than we anticipated. We thought there'd be a bigger dump.
We should point out, though, it's not going to be one sort of dump right at 11:59.
Steve Kornacki's over there waiting for a big dump.
I got good news for you. About 9:30, we're going to get a big dump in the Philly area.
Oh.
I was told we were going to get this one giant dump of Milwaukee. That big dump in Milwaukee, that's going to be a huge dump. By the way, they did the big dump. I told you, that's what they do.
Donald Trump got a little benefit out of that last dump.
Hey, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike Show with the Tuesday version from the DealsNindy.com studios. And I'm already a little excited because Trudy brought in the new Peter Frampton book.
Oh.
Do you feel like I do?
I know, really. Do you think they sat around and what can we call it for a couple hours?
Let's see. Lines on my face. Baby, I love you.
No,
way.
No.
What else is on that big album?
Well, Peter Just Feels.
I Want You. Show Me the Way.
Oh, well, maybe.
Show Me the Way. Well, no. No, it's a perfect title. It's his biggest song. And he is, God, I hope we get to talk to him. I think, I told you this, if they sent the book, that's a good sign. I think we'll get the interview.
Okay.
And nothing would make me happier. I mean, honestly, almost nothing than talking to Peter Frampton.
Wow. Gee,
I love Peter Frampton.
Oh, that's a step.
We interviewed him, I want to say, at least 4 or 5 times on Riff, and he was fantastic.
Oh, 4 or 5 times. I'll have to put that in the letter.
Yeah. I'm serious. He's possibly my favorite musical guest.
Possibly ever.
Hello, wow. Peter.
Possibly ever.
Well, that guy on CBS needs to stop hogging him. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, the Sunday morning thing?
He's interviewed him like 5 times in the last year.
I know, and he's acting like he's so worried about his fingers and all this. It's like, no, you just want another fucking interview with Peter Frampton. Knock it off.
No,
spread the wealth.
He feels like he owns him, and we're here to say that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Hey!
That's total BS. I got the new Joni Mitchell book upstairs, too, and I don't know if Joni... I'm not sure how much appeal she has with our audience.
She's the one that everybody was hot for, and she was like very sexually active with everybody who was involved in the music industry.
A very glib description.
Your face, it's so unusual.
You're so glib.
Is it Joni Mitchell, or is it...
Yes,
yeah,
Joni was. Yeah. Joni kind of made her way around Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and what she really wanted was JT, James Taylor.
Oh,
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, not that JT, the original JT, and James Taylor. He could kind of take Joni or leave Joni. And
is James Taylor? This is probably more a question for you, Trudy. Is James Taylor the kind of guy that every woman would pine over?
He was hot back then.
Okay,
but. Every woman should actually be able to see into the future and how the loss of his hair.
Is he like John Mayer today? Is that what's an equivalent?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, he wanted to bone Carly Simon, or she wanted to bone him.
Okay, and Carly Simon, I feel like he nailed down probably the hottest chick of that musical
ain't
period.
Nothing pretty about old people.
First of all, Carly Simon is gorgeous. She's got a giant mouth. And she's got a great body. I mean, she had an incredible body, and she was an incredible singer. I mean, you couldn't do much better. I read her book, though, and honestly, I think I just described all the good parts, and then I read like 300 pages on the bad parts, and mostly her words.
Uh-huh.
She's very, like, if we had a conversation right now with Carly, and I said something that was a little triggering to her, she would probably want me to have therapy. To figure out why.
Oh, she'd want to nurture you, though, right?
Yeah, she would. You're right. She would.
She wouldn't hang
and
up. And
she's
be
very
a bitch.
Sexual, too. So, I mean, that's a plus.
All right.
Anticipation is about her waiting for Cat Stevens to come over. She had cooked him dinner, and he was 2 hours late, and she wanted to Cat Stevens, and she had him.
Once again, Cat Stevens is another one.
Next thing you know, he's on top of me in the shed, pumping and sweating.
Trudy, come on, come with me here. Cat Stevens, chicks dug Cat Stevens.
He was hot in the day, and both of those dudes are, you know, like singer-songwriters and
Okay, Sweet Baby James, the first album, which is a great album. I mean, JT did have, I mean, Fire and Rain's a classic, and he's got some other great songs. But that's when he had the long hair, part in the middle, and he really was, and he was tall,
he had
too.
A guitar, and he was tall, and he wrote poems. Actually,
he wrote poems.
He did. And he's still tall. Women still
tall. Well, he's tall, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a different thing now. But
he got too tall for his hair. Which is a problem.
That's unfortunate. But I think he sort of, I think he's kept himself in a lot of women's hearts one way or another.
Probably
he's not exactly the best looking guy we've ever seen.
I think the music's a big part of it. I mean, when you're a star like him, and Trudy, remember he was such a heroin junkie?
Yeah.
And so everyone's trying to save him.
Fix him. Exactly.
And I don't think Joni just wanted him to commit to her. And I just think he was, he had a wandering wiener at the time. Because he was pretty, he had a lot of options.
Yeah.
Whereas Crosby, Stills, and Nash were just blown away by Joni. They all desperately wanted her.
But Crosby, why would she go there? That he looks like a walrus. He always did look like a walrus.
Big dick.
Maybe.
Crosby was hot for a minute. I mean, it's
was he?
Far be it for me to judge how hot David Crosby was or is. But chicks really dug him for a while, and then as he got it more and more into crack, he, of course, got fat.
Right.
He lost his hair.
He's kind of violent, too.
And he's a dick. He's a huge dick.
He's a huge dick.
But
big D energy over there.
When Joni Mitchell was into him, he was really big on three-ways and nudism.
What?
He was pretty wild. I remember
Have you ladies ever tried a threesome?
There he is.
Remember when we talked to Graham Nash and he said that, you know, that, yeah, he when you live with David, I mean, there could be nude women walking through the room, you know?
Well, he also, didn't he say he walked past him while David was on the phone and he was getting from
I think Nash was on the phone and...
Oh, right. Yeah, well,
and David had a couple...
Give it to me. Come on, you sissies, I can fit more of you.
But he's a couple ladies.
Well, that's really what rock stars do. Do you think Beethoven was like that, too? He's like having chicks all over him.
Yeah, he was.
With the gray wig.
Beethoven.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Play mean guitar, man.
His immortal. Yeah. Haven't you ever seen the movie Immortal Beloved?
Really?
Yeah, he was banging chicks all the time.
No, really?
That reminds me. Okay, this is way too heavy for
you. You know why?
Show.
Because of Beethoven.
But he's got a big dick.
There's a lot of pianists out there that have that bust of him and a giant dong.
Yeah, oh, his
too, right on top of the piano.
I did not know that. Is that what Roll Over Beethoven is about then?
I seen it, yeah, because he got hard.
Oh, what a great what? Song. Who? Okay.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. No.
Who wrote Roll Over Beethoven? That's not a Lennon McCartney song.
Isn't that an old.
Is it Chuck Berry?
Maybe.
I need to know. Can you find out while I'm reading this? And then I have something very deep that will hopefully not last long. Our oldest advertiser and our dear friends at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram are kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. It's going to be off the hook. If you love performance, if you like fully off-road capable vehicles, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. So starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass, as low as $155 a month, or the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And if it's pure performance, pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. Go get the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. You know the game, no Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. That's not something you can do just anywhere. So get details. Surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
And yes, it is. Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry. Okay. Thank you. That's important because that's a huge song.
I love how it's punctuated.
A great song. Should always be punctuated like that. Okay. So.
Hey, by the way, you did watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday.
I did.
In the text. Did you talk about Iggy, by the way?
Oh, his intro?
Yeah, and does Iggy ever try to wear a shirt or, you know, like, I know he dressed up because it was Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so he put one on, but he left it open.
You know, what is it about guys and no shirts? There are just no shirt guys, and you know who used to be a no shirt guy? Eddie Van Halen.
Oh.
I was one, when he died, I just started watching clips like crazy because I just really like him. I like that band. They really stood for fun and freedom and, you know, California, and, yeah. And he was such a great player. And so many of the clips, especially, you know, in the early days, Eddie is playing shirtless. He just went around playing shirtless.
I've seen this guy naked from head to toe.
Yeah, but he didn't keep that going up until his,
he wasn't doing it at 65, but his last shows, I guess he was technically 60 years old.
Iggy, though.
Iggy,
so dedicated to no shirts.
I thought you were going to say our old intern, Bruce. Remember old intern Bruce Bentley? He never had a shirt on.
Yeah, he was a fan of shirtlessness.
We'd go to a concert, and the first thing he would do is take off his shirt.
Really?
Being Bruce isn't easy.
See, I don't think Eddie Van Halen thought he had big guns or anything. I think he just liked...
He was
just a freedom kind of guy and just didn't like being restrained by a shirt.
Yeah.
Bruce, on the other hand, probably was getting off on showing off his body.
He's a good guy.
There are those shirtless guys, but you know, a lot of rock and roll guys are just... They're just shirtless types. What can I say? Slash goes shirtless a lot, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah, I think he used to. Yeah.
And the In Memoriam, by the way, was really very touching. But
Slash!
Duel between Ginger Baker and Neil Peart was particularly adorable.
Yeah, Ginger Baker was a great drummer.
I know, but they pitted him against each other in the In Memoriam. I'd never seen anything like that happen before.
He
Way
died like a dog.
Well, HBO.
Could you have two better drummers die in that short? I mean, that's pretty amazing.
That's
really.
A good point.
Yeah. God's putting together a pretty sweet rock band.
Yeah, he needed really. Why do you need two drummers? Jeez.
He's working on a singer now.
You didn't notice the story of the two drummers from the Doobie Brother part?
Oh,
they talked about having two drummers.
Yes.
And
God really, he really wanted Ginger Baker, but he liked the songs, the lyrics that Peart wrote, so. Figured he's just going to have dueling drummers.
I think the Allman Brothers.
This is Peart.
Weren't they one of the first that really needed two drummers? They had Butch.
You
and
sure
they had,
it's not Peart?
They had another drummer, and they kind of kept the two drummer thing going for a long.
Maybe,
I think they were the bitter end.
They probably pioneered it, but I noticed that the one of the hits were. It was made. Well, it was a Blackwater that was made by a radio station, Roanoke. So I asked Drew, "Was that you?"
No, that was way before my time because Blackwater was 1975. It was a giant hit. As Mark pointed out, it was like number 16 for the whole year. Mm-hmm. It was number one for quite a while, and I think everybody knows that song. If you hear it, you'll recognize it. Maybe don't know the name if you're younger.
Yeah, it's good though.
But the weird thing is. I think it was about 6 or 8 months ago, I was talking about South City Midnight Lady, which is my favorite Doobie Brothers song, and that was a thing in Roanoke. It was like, Roanoke played it. I've never worked in any other radio market that played that track. Never.
And I never heard of Roanoke as a radio market before.
Well, but remember when there used to be regional hits?
Yeah.
When people would actually add different songs, because you didn't always copy the other guy, you know, before it got all corporate.
Oh, Sonny, those were crazy times.
This is a cool song, man.
And by the way, I never realized the Doobie Brothers had a brother in the band. I was like, who's that guy?
Oh, really?
No, I never knew that.
I don't think I knew that either.
I was...
But he's got a big
I did know that, Trudy, but I never knew his name.
I didn't either.
No.
It's not like he... You know, he's a bass player, too. Why wouldn't we have known that?
I don't know. Is he still in the Doobie Brothers?
He wasn't until the 90s. So I assume he is. You know, he's alive.
It's really funny trying to give the Doobie Brothers their due after making fun of them for so long. There's a lot of talent in that band. Because Skunk Baxter, he's on a lot of those great Steely Dan tracks.
And a great mustache.
Michael McDonald came in late, too. Michael McDonald's a great talent. I know he sings like this. It's kind of weird.
You can have him. He's all yours.
The band's
your band. God doesn't even want him.
He wrote some big songs.
Minute by minute, I keep holding on. What a fool believes.
I guess I was so disinterested in them that I was that whole segment was a revelation.
Well, Saucy Midnight Lady. I mean, honestly, no one else played it that I know of. I've never worked in a radio market. I never heard it in Chicago.
I've never heard.
And
it.
I love the song. It's my favorite Doobie Brothers song. And then to find out that Blackwater was the B-side, and. Roanoke, Bart Prater is a DJ in Roanoke, probably the the most recognizable voice in Roanoke. He worked there his entire career. He was a big music lover and a real radio talent. I mean, for somebody who never wanted to leave home. I mean, he could have gone anywhere. He sounded that good. We could probably find some Bart Prater. I bet there's some online because he really had a big voice. Bart Prater loved the Doobie Brothers. And so Bart Prater turned over the 45 that came in. I know, 45? Doesn't that sound funny?
40.
And Blackwater was the B-side. And Bart liked it.
45.
Bart, I guess, decided, we're playing this.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what the A-side is. We're playing the B-side. This is better. That has happened in other occasions. I'll give you one more example. When, oh, God, is it McCartney's song, number one hit, 1980. Oh, Coming Up. Coming Up, you know, has that sort of electronic sounding one.
Uh-huh.
You know, where the video where he's playing John Bonham, and the B-side is a live version, and it's a little faster. And it's more raw, the singing.
Yeah, sure.
And it doesn't sound so electronic. They played the B-side for some reason. Somebody started playing it, somebody picked it up,
cool.
And that became the hit, the live version.
Wow.
The electronic one was played on MTV nonstop. But Blackwater, in this case, Roanoke started playing it. Somebody in Minneapolis heard about it from somebody they knew in Roanoke, and so this Minneapolis station, which is probably KQRS, huge. I mean, isn't KQRS the monster there? I mean, 20 shares.
Oh.
Huge. I mean, monster numbers. KQRS started playing it, and then it just took off because a big market put their call letters on it, and people said, oh, what's KQRS playing? And then, whammo, it just became a giant, giant song.
Huh.
And... South City and Midnight Lady did not have the same luck, unfortunately. But that's how, you know, radio used to do stuff like that. And that great song by Rocky Erickson and the 13th Floor Elevators,
mm-hmm.
You're Gonna Miss Me,
mm-hmm.
That was a huge
great
hit
song.
In San Antonio, Dallas, yep.
Austin,
Houston, Albuquerque. You know, it was a Southwest hit. It was like a number one in that region. So if you're growing up there, you know that song. But, you know, if you grew up on the East Coast, you have no clue.
Surprise it wasn't a hit in San Francisco.
Can't understand a word.
It's a pretty cool song. Yeah. Plus, you got a guy playing the jug.
Yeah.
It's a really garage sounding hit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it.
But still psychedelic, too. I've been desperately searching for a list of the top bands with two drummers. It's a
Allman
lot
Brothers
than
have
you.
To be on the top of the list.
Huh?
Allman Brothers have to be on the list.
Allman Brothers, Doobies, Slipknot, Brandon. Slipknot had two. I know Radiohead has performed with two since 2011.
Is that so?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little annoying, but...
That's
it?
Lot,
nobody
actually.
Else?
There's a whole... Believe it or not, there is a Wikipedia page.
Oh, I believe it.
We're double drumming.
Yeah, I was on the... Wikipedia Power Pop page yesterday. There's quite a long list. Power Pop is now officially a thing because it's got a Wikipedia, two Wikipedia pages, one describing what Power Pop is, which is, let's see, what are the keys to Power Pop? Jangly guitars, great harmonies, and
Echo.
There were a couple other things. I don't know if Echo was in there, but and the holy triumvirate of Power Pop is the Raspberries, Badfinger, and Cheap Trick.
Oh, cool. I like that.
Some people feel
Cheap Trick?
Yeah. Well, Cheap Trick's got...
Just rock?
Are they jangly? I didn't know they were jangly.
They're not jangly enough. Give them up the list.
It's hard. I mean, there's a lot of other bands I feel better define power pop, like Material Issue, which Valerie Loves Me, and Renee Remains the Same, all those girl songs that guy did. Jim Ellison, who died when he left his moped running in the garage.
What are you talking about?
And became thought of as somewhat soft for committing suicide with the help of a moped.
Oh, that's right.
Remember
I talked about that?
Yeah.
It's forever.
Big Star is power poppy. I mean... If you listen to, I mean, some songs are power poppy without the air. Marshall Crenshaw's a great power pop artist. Absolutely.
Well, do you consider Elvis then, Costello?
Oh,
yeah, he's sort of in that zone.
But he's Brit pop, isn't he? I mean, can he be Brit pop and power pop?
He's really, Elvis is really a new waver. I mean, in my mind, I know he's one of those guys that doesn't like labels because he's done everything. He's done country songs, he's done, Elvis has done everything. He's done gospel songs. He's done just about everything musically you could do.
Yeah.
So he avoids the labels. But I would say he has power pop stuff. Accidents will happen. Pump It Up is certainly poppy in a way. I don't know, maybe more rocky.
Do you want to know other bands that had two drummers?
Yeah, I do.
ABBA apparently had two drummers during their 1977 Australian tour.
Why did ABBA need two drummers?
I don't know.
Didn't they have Mike the one?
One on the other side of the ocean.
I think many of these two drummer bands didn't mic the one properly.
So Arcade Fire's on here now, but I guess one drummer is really a percussionist in a lot of this, like doing all the
bongos.
Oh, like Elton John with Ray Cooper and Nigel Olsen. Ray Cooper's the crazy percussionist, and he's crazy.
But I know that's how Radiohead did it. So then they have.
You saw Ray Cooper, didn't you, at the Elton show?
Yes,
he's wild.
He's pretty insane.
Butthole Surfers.
Butthole Surfers.
I'm surprised they could afford a second drummer.
Eagles of Death Metal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Remember them having two?
And maybe it's just Foreigner like a single song or something.
What does Foreigner need
Foreigner,
two drummers?
No. Foreigner?
No way do they need two drummers.
Foreigner is another one of those bands that I'm fascinated because it's like, I can't believe there are people you ask, man, in all the history of rock and roll, who's your favorite band? And I just want to see that group of people that says, oh, Foreigner! Because I just can't believe they're anyone's favorite band. I don't know why I can't believe that. Seems like they should be. They have to be. I mean, they're a big band.
Levon Helm's on this list. Joe Walsh, I guess when he's solo.
Wait, obviously, Foo Fighters.
Levon Helm
that.
Probably likes two drummers because he likes to sing sometimes and let the other guy drum, and then other times he likes to drum, and he drums and sings.
And that's kind of what Brandon was just saying about Foo Fighters. When I think of two drummers,
really
I want two kits up there, man.
Absolutely. No, right, I bet you Levon has two kits, and Ringo's All-Star Band always has two drummers. Because Ringo gets like Simon Kirk from Bad Company, mm-hmm. and then he plays drums, and then sometimes he's a front man.
I think Ringo's just padding his payroll.
There
he could
with
be.
With friends.
That's on here. It says Rod Stewart, too, 2017 and 2018. He should have had Kevin Spacey's brother be one of the drummers.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
It would all look like Rod Stewart and Rod Stewart's band.
I read a funny thing. I was reading about Eric Carmen this weekend from the Raspberries, and I love the Raspberries. Let's Pretend is one of the great power pop songs of all time, in my opinion. Go All the Way, I know, is their most popular song, but I really love Let's Pretend. They've got a few others that I really like. And then, of course, he had all his poppy hits later, All by Myself.
Oh, yeah.
And is it Hungry Eyes from Dirty Dancing? Hungry Eyes.
Oh, uh-huh.
And Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. I mean, he's a guy who's had a lot of hits.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
He also had the biggest, dumbest hair.
Yeah,
possibly ever.
Yeah.
I mean, not just in rock and roll.
His album covers are pretty ridiculous, too.
Well, he looks ridiculous. His hair is ridiculous. And now he's really into plastic surgery, you'll notice. And I think his wife is, too.
Wow.
I mean, it's a really, they're a weird pair. But at the same time, I love the Raspberries. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. I don't like the soft stuff, though.
Well, the Raspberries didn't really play soft stuff. I mean, they were just power pop. They didn't really do a lot of ballads. They did.
You mean Him by Himself?
Yeah, Him by Himself. Those are all Hungry Eyes.
The name itself is a little soft.
All by Myself. All those songs. What song, Brandon?
The name itself. The Raspberries.
Better eat them quick or else they'll go bad.
Was Strawberry Cream already taken?
Strawberry Alarm Clock was.
I have no idea why they were the Raspberries, but they were not a soft band. I mean, they had excellent, great drummer. They had a guy who played a 12-string electric a lot.
Maybe they were named after a Bronx cheer. Isn't that also called a raspberry?
Yes.
And they all had hungry eyes.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Whatever that means.
I've completely lost the point. I know what the point was. I was reading about Eric Carmen. And Eric Carmen, because of primarily the big Raspberries hits, was Please Go All the Way.
Mm-hmm. You know what song?
It was a huge song. He was asked to be in Ringo's All-Star Band. So Eric Carmen, who's a giant Beatles fan, was like, oh my God, be in a band with Ringo, it's cool. So, and I will say this, it's not as ridiculous as it sounds. John Lennon liked the Raspberries, and John Lennon is in a picture wearing a Raspberries T-shirt, which has been floated around quite a bit, including on Eric Carmen's Facebook page.
How embarrassing.
And everything related to Eric Carmen, you'll see John Lennon with his Raspberry shirt. He was very proud of it.
That's embarrassing.
But he was a fan. He actually walked in when they were recording, as he was recording an album, and he liked them. And he was sort of like, I know it's not popular, but I think their music's pretty damn good. So there's a little minor Beatle connection there. So Eric Carmen is so psyched. He's like, what's he want? What's he want? And they said, just send three songs. He's like, I got to send five songs. No, send three songs. Yeah. Just three songs. But, I want him to hear that we can rock and that we had some softer stuff that's really... No, three songs. Just pick three songs.
That's it.
And so he sent three songs, and he just could not get over the fact that it wasn't worth listening to a fourth or fifth song. So anyway, he went out, and I think they just played two songs.
Oh God, I know. Pill.
Colin Hay, business as usual, men at work. They had a bunch of hits to play and a couple other guys.
I don't care for that guy.
Neither. Just soft.
What can I say? Anyway, the power pop category. I think you'll find if you like Badfinger, if you like Cheap Trick, if you go down the category and you see bands you don't know, you'll probably like them. It's a pretty, as long as it's a narrow
list. Here's
my
favorite bands. AC/DC, Van Halen, not Van Hagar, Skinner, Def Leppard.
I was doing a Gibby's son, Cam.
Yeah.
I guess he's going to go play baseball in Australia.
Oh, really?
So he asked me, what do you think's a good walk-up song?
Hungry Eyes?
No, I didn't go with Hungry Eyes.
AC/DC.
Good night, mate.
For a guy in his 20s, he's got great musical taste. He loves Zeppelin, Metallica, Sabbath. He likes to rock. So anyway, I was...
Moby Dick. You should walk up to Moby Dick then if you like.
Yeah.
That's not... It doesn't rock hard enough.
What? But...
What?
Moby Dick? Which version are you talking about?
But he's got a big dick.
That's, I think, the cachet that lends
it. Just didn't strike me as a walk-up song. But...
Yeah, see?
That's a cool walk-up song, no?
It's a walk-up song, I guess. Zeppelin has more walk-up songs than almost anybody. I mean, they have so many, you can't believe it.
Are there things that can't be used? Because this seems... Okay, yeah. I never would have thought of this, but...
Should I make it clear, by the way, a walk-up song? It's when you're on deck, ready to bat, and when they announce, next batter, number 23, Cam Gibson, and they play the 20 seconds or so. So you really don't want something that has lyrics in the first 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, this
would be cool.
It's a good walk-up song.
Yeah. But you have to saunter.
I believe the final choice, which is one of my choices, is When the Levee Breaks.
That's how you play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's my second choice.
Yeah, but I didn't hear the big drum. The drums at the beginning are just so badass.
I mean. Oh, my God.
Speaking of miking drums properly. Oh, my God.
Wait, you should use the guy. I know what version you should use. Hang on. Let's see if I can find it.
I thought In the Evening would be a great one, but it's got too many. It's not a real good jam.
It starts with In the Evening.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
And then I thought there'd be something in there because you can use the middle of the
version
song.
Instead. Wait, where's that? Hang on.
He was using Stranglehold by Nugent, the guitar solo in the middle.
Oh, yeah, that's a. That's pretty cool. I like it.
Oh, I hope he has a great time over there. Pretty cool. Tigers aren't working out, so I'll go play in Australia for a while.
When you said that, my first thought was, they have baseball in Australia? I don't know why.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
I didn't know they had a major professional baseball league. I mean, I always think of Japan.
Well, the Tigers have an Australian. Didn't they have an Australian pitcher recently? No?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
You're right.
But I remember.
There are guys. Yeah. There are Aussies who have made it this way, but I didn't realize. I mean, Japan and Korea have always been the big places where major leaguers will go. Japan, I think they allow two Americans per team.
Really? That's racist.
Because they're dominant!
Where's the equality?
Was it Warwick's Supple?
Yeah. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so God, I would spend more time going through rock up songs. You know what I loved? Because he likes Hendrix. Red House.
Oh yeah.
I love the song. And then I thought, I don't know, the fans might get too into it.
Roadhouse.
I was thinking of Australian bands, and I realized, oh my God, the Bee Gees are Australian band. And I thought, Staying Alive. You know that scene with Travolta?
Don't tell him that.
No, I was kidding. It was a joke. But it'd be really funny. Yeah. But what if he started dancing because he got so into it?
Or how about this one?
Could fuck it up.
This one.
Oh yeah.
In Excess. In Excess has tons of great walk-up songs. They do. They do.
Can you imagine him walking up to this?
Yeah.
Well, that's another one. You got Fear of Dancing. What if he starts getting down? The umpire jumps in.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah. Suicide Blonde.
Except you'd have to make sure his hair's dyed blonde, like platinum blonde.
That's a great idea.
This is a pretty good walk-up song.
It'd be a good look.
What about The One Thing with Jimmy Barnes? He's an Aussie, too. Jimmy Barnes plays a mean guitar.
Wait, you know who else is, I think, Australian? Hang on.
AC/DC, Thunderstruck.
Come up to this, because isn't she Australian? Can you just picture her stepping out of the truck?
Yeah, what's wrong with this? This is a great choice.
Yeah,
she is Aussie. Everybody, I can't pronounce her name, but seriously, she's one of speaking of Carly Simon being one of the hottest. She's one of the hottest singers in the history of rock and roll. No,
what's her
question.
Name again? Or was her name again?
What's Chrissy? The Divinals? I can't remember her name.
Chrissy. It starts with an A.
Amp. Oh boy,
I can never pronounce it properly.
Ridiculous.
This song is just. I love this song.
I want to play this song so bad.
I want this to be his walk-up song.
Come on, Cam, go with it.
It's Amphlett.
Is it Amphlett?
Yeah.
Christina Amphlett?
Yeah. And you know what? She was a cool chick. She had hot ass. She was a cool chick with a hot ass. But she had it all, man. She had, she had some curves, and she was really pretty, very sultry. And then to write that song? Jeez. I can't, but honestly, I don't know.
Slut.
Do you know any other songs by them?
No, you want to know what else is the biggest streaming one besides that?
What is it?
So that was that, like, 35 million. Boys in Town. Have you ever heard of that song?
No, and I don't think I care.
Well, you ass.
Oh, don't judge.
I mean, I'm not sure that I want to like another song by them.
I kind of do, because I love the name of the band.
It's a cool name. I mean, it's called Raspberries. That sucks.
Yeah.
She, I was reading about her a couple years ago just because I was listening to that song. I was like, where is that chick? Is she still hot?
No.
Did she get huge?
And
she
got cancer.
Oh.
Actually. Yeah. Breast cancer. And she fought valiantly. She fought really hard and outlived her diagnosis by quite a bit, but she did succumb to breast cancer. Yeah, it was really, really sad.
God needed a singer.
He needed a sultry singer.
Oh, that was in 2013. I didn't even know that.
It's very sad.
Do you remember, was it Wendy Williams?
Wendy
O. Williams.
From the Plasmatics?
From the Plasmatics, right.
I never thought she was sexy. I don't know why she's like
trying really hard to be. She was pre-Lady Gaga in the bizarre ass, like stage look.
I think you hit it. She may have tried too hard.
Yeah, maybe so.
This band's from Australia. You could walk up to this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of a cool walk-up song.
Cool.
I don't know why it has to be a band from Australia. Just to pander.
Well, I was thinking Aussie bands, but he didn't have any on his list, and I think Zeppelin was pretty dominant. I mean, rock and roll be a great walk-up song, too, but it's got lyrics too soon, right?
Right.
And there are a couple other... Oh, Kashmir. I mean, that's so easy.
Yeah, might
that
be
long
too
intro,
slow
that great
tempo,
work.
Though, but...
Well, it's a tricky category,
8 seconds,
but I
got to
tell you, I spent a good 2 hours. I must have been high or something, because I just couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough walk-up songs. I was in a deep YouTube trance.
Just make sure he doesn't pick the...
Oh, Ramble On. I sent him Ramble On. Yeah, go with the Down Under band. Wait. No FX on from there. No FX are American, aren't they? The punk band?
I just assume they were, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. The stock market went crazy today with news of a vaccine at 90% efficacy.
Oh, my God. I can't
two
wait.
Doses, but it's months away.
No.
Yeah, it is months.
December, away. They said.
They're already rolling it
I heard
out.
Joe Biden say expect a long, dark.
Well, he's senile. What does he know? I got to tell you, this the news about the Pfizer vaccine cannot be overstated enough how huge it is. Nobody thought they would get 90%. Not only that, but the technology is going to be used in the future for solving a lot of things, the RNA technology. It's fucking great news.
I am only interested in this because immediately, of course, the politics leaped into the story that Pfizer tried to screw Trump. They had it before the election. They got my... Okay. I just want to say this.
Give us our freedom, Joe Biden!
It's not to criticize anyone except for Donald Trump Jr., who, of course, had to make hay out of it.
So predictable.
That, yeah, it is very predictable. Trump and Biden, neither one of them had anything to do with making this vaccine.
Yeah.
Some really brilliant scientists made it.
Wrong.
And honestly, it could have come at any point. It doesn't matter because I don't think either one of them deserve votes for the vaccine.
Well, Pence went out there a little bit today and tried to stake claim for it, you know, because Operation Warp Speed, if anybody saw 60
Oh, really?
Minutes,
so by telling him, oh, I want this really fast, well, that made him do
but
better?
Here's what's funny. So Operation Warp Speed, it was a fascinating story last night on 60 Minutes. I mean, it is an amazing effort.
You mean that General 60 Pernas Minutes did. Broke the story
no,
last
no, no.
night?
No, no, no. I'm getting to a point. So 60 Minutes did a story on Operation Warp Speed and just the logistics behind getting a vaccine.
Was it on last night?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Getting
well, I mean,
isn't
that a big coincidence?
Well, here's the thing.
Hang on. Let me
here's,
say it.
Here's the thing. So Pence is kind of was starting to take credit for today, and immediately the head of Pfizer came out there, who's been everywhere today, just hurrah, just hard as a rock, just right. Boner.
Absolutely. Everybody's hard over this. The stock market was up 1,600 points at one time.
Coincidentally, the last biggest product they had was Viagra, but go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, that's probably why he was so
why
hard.
Why they're hard as rocks.
So he came out right away and said, Pfizer and BioNTech are not part of Operation Warp Speed.
We have taken
no money from the government. Ooh. We are not relying on Operation Warp Speed to even distribute this vaccine. It's incredible that they did that without any government money.
Well, you know, to be honest, none of that mattered to me. It's like, we have a vaccine for this. It's 90%. Yeah. That is fucking great news. Try to tarnish this. This is the best fucking news we could get.
They can take all the credit they want for it. I don't care because it's just huge.
COVID-19!
And the technology is amazing.
To bitch about it is really... people just have to bitch about everything. But look at it this way. And this is honestly, as I sort of let it all settle into my brain, eventually I got to the bottom line.
Which is?
If this announcement was November 1st. Are there people who said, oh my God, they've got to be, I'm voting for Trump instead of Biden. He triggers me all the time. I hate his Twitter. I think he's a racist. He's a homophobe. But I'm going to vote for Trump because they got a vaccine from Pfizer.
COVID-19.
Would anybody really do that?
I wouldn't. Yeah, I would. I wouldn't be surprised. I think some people would.
Really? They would go, I'm voting for Trump because there's a vaccine?
Yeah, because they trust him to rebuild the economy faster. And it would get built faster with the vaccine.
There was a story. So
Biden is a vote for masks, and Trump is a vote for...
I don't know. I think we're getting into the weeds. We're way in the weeds.
Yeah, I really didn't want to get this far in the weeds. I thought I was making a great point. I really don't see people changing their vote over a vaccine, but maybe I'm wrong.
I read a couple of people who were like, I did it reluctantly because I thought it would help the economy, I thought that was
Trump.
What their thing was.
Okay, can we just produce one person who will say that they would have changed their vote? I just want to hear what they say. I'm curious. Just drop an email to any of us at Drew and Mike Podcast. Drew at, Trudy at, Mark at, M-A-R-C, Brandon.
It should not.
It seems to me people that voted against Trump voted so hard against Trump. I don't know many people who are like, I just can't make up my mind.
I think you'd be surprised.
That can't make up their mind, I think they probably did not like either one of them.
The votes should be counted.
Don't let this diffuse the craziness that the vaccine is here. Yay!
Yeah, I know, exactly. I just want it to be the good news that it is, because it is good news. And what the stock market...
I demand a vaccination to come immediately!
Yes!
Wow.
What did the stock market end up?
It died down a little bit at the end of the day, so it was only up 834 points, almost 3%. The NASDAQ was ironically down because of all the people bailed out of Zoom. bailed out of Netflix. Anything that
that
you're doing at home, a lot of people started selling that off, taking that profit. But futures are already back up.
Tell you what.
But I don't know anything. Call Luke.
Investing is a very fascinating thing. And you know, I like reading about it. The best way I learned about it was when I was at home back in the Riff days in the 90s, when I'd get home from Riff, and nobody is off work at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, I would either read or, you know, some kind of activity, and I would have CNBC on in the background. And later, that changed to I would have the O.J. Simpson trial on in the background.
Yeah.
That went on for about 6 months, and then I went back to CNBC in the background, and then occasionally Court TV would take over my life.
Yeah.
But honestly,
I'm just saying.
It was a little more than osmosis. I was active viewer at times, but, I mean, it's not that hard to learn about. I think a lot of people are intimidated about investing, and that's why people like Luke Nowacki are great to have in your pocket, because he's at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. He's studying this stuff all the time. I tell you what, if I could have turned him loose with $20,000 today, I probably could have made a lot of money. I mean, maybe not right this minute, but there were some great deals out there, and it's great to have somebody. 248-663-4748, 248-663-4748 for Luke Nowacki. Rational financial advice.
That is
securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
He's got a big dick.
That is the smoothest transition I have ever heard.
Yeah, I don't think Luke will complain about that drop. Hall Financial.
The oxygen tank, no way.
Hall Financial is looking for you if your current mortgage is above 3%. That's really low. And I can see you closing that and going, oh, my God, we got 3.2. We got 3.4. We got 3.1. Well, you might be able to save money if you call Hall Financial and ask them to see about a refi. 248-308-5000. Believe it or not, closing times have sped up again. Right now, the majority of loans at Hall Financial are closing in 10 business days or fewer. So have your act together. Don't blow their average. And if for some reason your loan does require an appraisal, 70% don't right now. For the month of November, Hall Financial is going to pay for the appraisal up to $500. So if you want a $2,000 appraisal, if you want a fancy schmancy appraisal, then you'll have to pay for part of it. But $500, that should cover it. Oh, NMLS number 1467435. And I got a very pleasant email from someone who wrote to Hall about getting a refinance in Vermont, and they don't have a license in Vermont, so Hall Financial couldn't do it. But the point of the email was that Hall Financial responded within 3 minutes of him sending the note from our website, which is one of the places you can get in touch with Hall Financial. So there you go. And Dr. Yaldo is back at the Yaldo Eye Center. So many people have taken advantage of the reopening of doctor's offices to get life-changing surgeries, whether it's Dr. Roche, and maybe somebody's getting some liposuction, or they're getting a breast lift, or they're getting
Botox in my forehead and around my eyebrows.
A lot of people are doing that, or fillers. And Dr. Yaldo is trying to help you with your vision. He's trying to help you throw away the glasses, throw away the contacts, and get custom topography guided LASIK and see better than you ever could with glasses before. Or if you're over 45, multifocal lens replacements will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live, and $1,500 off if you mention this stupid show. Just do that and call 1-800-398-EYES or go to yaldoeyecenter.com and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And remember, Yaldo Eye Center now is a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So there you go. On the subject of music, boy, this is a weird week because there's been so much music related to the larger stories. And in fact, YMCA and Macho Man are both charting on Billboard.
Oh, my God. We're so stupid.
How cool is that?
So is Party in the USA.
Oh, why?
FDT.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, yeah. And so
NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye.
Oh my God!
What is it? I don't know the song "Bye Bye Bye." I only know the great NSYNC song.
Yes, you do. It was the last song played on Magic 105.1 before it flipped to Detroit Sports Radio.
Why didn't we play "Backstreet's Back"? Because that is the only song anybody wants to hear about Backstreet Boys. I get so fired up when I hear about those guys being back.
That would have been perfect symmetry if they would have played that to end the first format and then "Backstreet's Back" to start yours.
You know this song.
That synthesizer on "Backstreet's Back" is just. It just yanks you to the dance floor.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Doing this tonight.
Hey, is this a fuck you song?
Yeah, it's a bye-bye. Break, isn't it like a breakup song?
Bye, Grandma.
A bad breakup song, like get the hell out of here.
I think so. I don't know. I've never once analyzed the lyrics to an NSYNC.
It seems like a nasty song for those nice young boys who are dancing.
I'm like, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's a more difficult decision to make in this world than this. I can't imagine what it is. I can't decide what I like better.
Bye-bye.
The Napoleon Dynamite, okay, bye. No, keep bye. Or Stan's, okay, Stan. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
They're both fabulous. Napoleon's is slower.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. See if I can get them both at the same time here.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Stan okay, sounds bye. Doesn't Stan sound more dismissive?
Ready, Brandon? Possible? 1, 2, 3.
Okay, bye.
What was the point of that?
One more. Again.
1, 2, 3.
Okay, bye.
So stupid.
They're really dismissive. They're wonderful.
So is this?
Bye bye.
It's pretty dismissive. Well,
the funny thing it is
about Stan was he was done talking to us. He was ready to move on. Anytime we said something, he was like, "Yeah." I think he needed to watch NASCAR or wrestling.
Love Stan.
So I'm watching Inside Edition, and they're talking to Victor Willis, the cop from the Village People.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Victor's still alive. Okay. And he, of course, is so pumped.
I love Inside Edition.
Oh, he was excited?
Yeah, he's got two songs on the charts.
Oh, that's right. He gets residuals now.
Sure. No, it's all good. And, of course, Trump danced to it at his rally. And they got into the whole thing of, this is so stupid, I can hardly bear to say it, but apparently people were playing it at the Biden celebration things because they wanted to take the song back.
Pardon me?
Is that what? Really?
Why?
So the song was...
Great, congratulations, you could have it back, Biden people.
The song was a red song because
he's
Trump...
stealing that!
Songs are red and blue now?
Hmm.
I had a real hard time digesting that.
More blue than red.
Take the song back. The song.
If you don't have it, forget it, right?
YMCA? You're spelling YMCA.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
It's not red. It's not blue. It's YMCA. It's this crazy band talking about the YMCA.
I know.
Kind of catchy.
You're interacting with Stan.
Bullshit.
So Victor said that he was very happy that everyone liked it. He was happy that Trump played it and danced to it because people heard it. And then when the Biden people tried to take it back, he was happy then, too, because people were playing his song.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care why people play his song. People that wanted to take it back are really giving it that much thought. But not
bullshit.
But he had a lot of years that he coasted on, sports venues using it, right? Mm.
But I think they just license it, don't they? So it doesn't matter if it gets played once or 100 times?
Probably not, at events. But I would bet that's a little bit of a nice revenue stream for him.
He's stealing that!
Well, people probably think, I like that song. I'm going to listen to it when I get home.
Bye, Bye, Bye. Is that really? I'm surprised was it a huge song back in the day?
That is probably their best known song. Isn't
I didn't even know that.
Fake.
Can you play? I swear to God, I didn't. I did not know that song.
I don't believe.
I'm so hooked on the synthesizer in Backstreet's Back. Once you're gone, I know that I can't take no more. It ain't no lie. I want to see you out that door, baby. Bye-bye. Just play everyone in Backstreet's Back. That thing just comes pounding in. It's like the train is leaving the station, baby.
Said no one ever.
There's no stopping this song.
You got the full.
No, come on. Don't fuck with me.
Sorry, I didn't have it saved in our system. I didn't know we
needed
to
hear this.
To have it. All right.
Give it to him. Full blast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. What they do that? This little opening.
How dramatic.
Why are you being a dick when I really need to hear this? I'm getting edgy.
Oh, there it is.
I gay? Am I gay?
I didn't realize it had this fancy schmancy intro.
Oh, like you didn't know that.
Whoa.
This song, by the way, less streams than Bye 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 on Spotify.
How many does it have?
188 million.
Holy shit. It's because of this part.
Bye Bye Bye, 290 million.
Wow.
So Bye 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 is by far NSYNC's top streaming song. Because almost 291 million.
That's their biggest streaming song?
This, I promise you, is number two with 135 million. So Bye 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 by far.
I would have thought they had a billion streamer.
Bye Bye Bye, they only had one number one hit. That kind of blew my mind. And that was, It's Gonna Be Me.
Who's the vocalist?
Wait, they have like diamond platinum albums. 10 million sold. In fact, they broke the record for the most sold in its first week, which is really embarrassing.
Now,
God, this is a great song.
The number one stream song between those two is 665 million, yeah. And that's Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way, yeah. Which is also what the parody song
Wait,
is.
I thought you said they had nothing over 290.
No. This song was 188. NSYNC's highest one is Bye 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 at 290. But Backstreet has one that's higher than that at 665 million, which is I Want It That Way.
Does anybody have any idea approximately how many songs have a billion streams? I mean, is that like hundreds of songs now?
Oh, you know, I'm just going by Spotify. So I guess if I looked on the YouTube.
It's not YouTube. That important.
Oh. I'll see.
The Spotify is significant.
The Spotify.
So is this Aaron's brother's vocal?
I see a lot.
Or they all sing. They all sing. That's right. They all sing a dance.
It is weird.
I only see two songs that have over 2 billion streams. All the other ones are. There's a lot that have a billion.
So there's probably thousands of songs that have a billion streams.
What do you think are the two songs that have over 2 billion streams?
Gangnam.
Out of all songs? Well, we just covered this. Gangnam, not that long.
What's his name?
Psy. No, it's Despacito and Baby Shark.
Bieber.
No, that's YouTube. This is stream. Oh. So Shape of You is the number one.
What?
Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. 2.6 billion. And then Rockstar by Post Malone. 2 billion.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, Post Malone is, boy, I tell you, he is huge.
But he's got a big dick.
Since we're talking music, and we should really be talking about music that is important, real music. So why don't we do that? Because I saw a cool list, and I really thought this was a good list. And I thought it made me think, maybe it'll do the same thing for you. If you remember...
Let's talk about some music.
For so long, if you're my age, Rolling Stone magazine was the place that defined the importance or lack of music. They ignored heavy metal for as long as they could.
Yeah.
They kind of ignored punk and new wave. I mean, Cream magazine was a superior magazine, musically speaking, but Rolling Stone had taken on a broader, you know, they were into style and entertainment. And but, you know, at the heart of it still was music. But in 1985, Spin magazine came along.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
I like Spin.
I had a subscription.
I like Spin, too. And I thought Spin, if nothing else, it was just someone kind of keeping the train on the tracks, at least in terms of, you know,
rock and roll,
giving us, you know, analysis of music and, you know, hearing about bands and writing stories and being everywhere and keeping up with it. And in some cases, areas that Rolling Stone was just ignoring, because, you know, it blows my mind when I read about this stuff now. But, you know, for example, Led Zeppelin. Rolling Stone trashed Led Zeppelin. I think of the first three albums, they absolutely trashed them as, you know, I don't remember the specific terms, but I mean, they really put down that sort of upper hard end. And of course, eventually they became believers, but I mean, they tried to, it's almost like they tried to extinguish it. And then with other forms of metal, too, they just ignored it. But Spin came along, and while Spin maybe didn't spend as much time on all those things, as maybe the fans would like them, too. It was at least another important voice. So Spin turning 35 this year.
Wow.
Wow.
I know, isn't that weird?
Is Gooch still alive? Wasn't that Gooch's magazine?
Yeah, that was Gooch's. Yeah,
is he still
Gooch's,
alive?
Gooch's brat, actually, wasn't it?
Oh.
Or was it, Gooch? It must have been Gooch's originally.
Gary works for Spin.
Gary.
Gary.
Gary, you know, it's funny. When I look up historical stories like this sort of story, it's amazing Gary. How often Gary's byline appears.
I know.
Really, I mean, Bill writes a lot of stuff for Billboard, too.
And every time you see it, don't you go, oh, there he is again.
I know, I do. I sigh.
Love you, Gary!
Gary.
You're right, though. It is Gooch Jr.
Okay. I tend to sigh and roll my eyes when I see Gary.
But there he is.
The truth is, you have to be impressed by Gary Graff. He, yeah. You know, for going through the strike at yeah. the newspaper, he yeah. gave up his golden job, which was to be the music writer at the Free Press. He'd been there doing it for a while, doing it very well. He had all the contacts. And because he wouldn't cross the picket line, they replaced him.
Well, he stood his ground.
He stood his ground, absolutely. And I never dreamed that someone who's as entrenched as Gary would actually permanently lose that job. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, my God, what's he going to do?
Gary
gets a job at the Oakland Press, which was not on the level in terms of income or benefits. I mean, not even close.
Yeah, but they have some great writers.
They do. No, I'm not yeah. trying to put down the Oakland Press. But in terms of prestige and dollars, it was not the same thing. It was quite a yeah. penalty. But
for your information, I am a big shot.
He was writing books, and he was free. And I was like, oh, I'll make it up freelancing. And man, did he ever, because he freelanced everywhere.
Yeah.
And he started writing the rock books. And I think he's got, I hate to even say this, because I know he'd correct me in a second. Does he have four, is it four books now? Four editions?
Was it Rock Hound? Is that his?
Yeah, Hound is in the title.
Yeah, you're going to ruin, you know?
But they're
all
really
I know is
good.
When you Google his name underneath it, it says American Journalist.
Oh, wow. Sick Ooh. Burn.
God. I got to tell you, I've been burned by a few of those lately. People, I'm like, no, not this guy.
It was a Wikipedia page, man.
Wow.
Music really? Hound Rock, the Essential Album Guide.
What does Gary's Wikipedia page say? Crying out
loud. Okay, I'll read the whole thing to you. Gary Graff, born 1960, is an American music journalist and
Gary.
Author. Originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, really? Graff attended
it's
Taylor
Gary time!
Taylor Alderdice High School, where he wrote for the school newspaper, the Taylor Alderdice
too.
Forward. He received his Bachelor of Journalism degree from the University of Missouri.
Good journalism.
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Great, good journalism school,
great
by the way.
Broadcast and journalism school, yeah. He wrote for the Free Press from 82 to 95 when there was a strike at the newspaper. Gary refused to cross the picket line and subsequently lost his job. Gary has contributed to publications including the New York Times, Billboard, the Boston Ooh. Globe, and the San Francisco Chronicle, Ooh. As well as writing,
write me a book, kid.
Writing a regular column for Guitar World magazine. In 2005, Gary published The Ties That Bind, Bruce Springsteen, A.E.T.
Oh, yeah. A really very successful book.
One reviewer said the book, quote, comes close to being the definitive study, end quote, on Bruce Springsteen.
Ooh.
He is also the founding editor of Music Hound's Essential Album Guide series, which began Music Hound Rock in 1996. He now lives in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
They wrote 12 books. Yeah. All did very well.
I don't think he really lives in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh.
Do you want to change it? I mean, it's Wikipedia. I can add
Berkeley.
Anything you want me to add, I can add to it.
What's between Southfield and Birmingham? Not Berkeley. Berkeley's where you live.
Yeah. Wait, what do you want?
Southfield, Madison.
Birmingham?
No,
Royal Oak?
North of Southfield, south
Beverly
of
Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, thank
oh.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lives in Beverly Hills.
He does? I didn't know that.
Well, he did. I don't know. He may have moved.
Jeez, nice.
He's had some
changes. Nice doxing Gary on the podcast. Here's his phone number, by the way.
Beverly Hills is a big town. It's not really a big town, but
it's not at all.
Doesn't live in Detroit. In my
Jeez.
Opinion. Maybe he does. Did he move to Detroit? Is that, I mean,
no.
Seems like breaking news to me.
But I say I'm from Detroit.
I'm just busting his balls.
I know. Well, I guess because he's very into accuracy.
Yes, exactly.
And knowing things.
That was my point.
So what do you want me to add to his...
I think he's busted.
What do you want me to add to his Wikipedia page?
Oh, nothing. It's pretty complete.
I think it could have more.
It could.
Where is
but
his...
Gary's also concise.
Yeah, but where is his notation for working in this show?
Oh.
It doesn't say he was employed by the Red Shuffle Network.
You could reference the radio stations where he has also broadened his appeal. He's been on with Bob and Brian in Milwaukee for a long time.
Really?
A long time. Yeah. But that was after us. Started on WR.
So, okay. Graf.
Looked at CSX.
He's also a frequent
contributor.
Yes, frequent contributor.
Okay.
To the Drew and Mike show, which significantly broadened
his
appeal.
We should add another show, too, though. What was the other one?
Bob and Brian.
Secondarily.
Yeah, but you can link our name to our Wikipedia page from there.
I think
making it's all about us.
I think broadened his appeal is very important. And I think he will object to it.
All I know is when we did the interview with the Jackson other brothers, he's very aggressive. I got to see Gary in action.
I know. He's really good.
Wild.
He is really good at what he does. And, man, he works hard. He works like a dog. Really, I mean, I cannot believe how many shows he goes to.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Not right now, but before COVID. He goes to everything. If it's a big rap show, he's there. If it's a big country show, he's there. Of course, he loves rock and roll is his true love, but sure. He does not ignore anything musical. So,
now I want you two to kiss each other.
The 35 best songs of the last 35 years from Spin Magazine.
Wow.
Number 35, Black Hole Sun.
Cool.
Soundgarden.
Wait, I'm sorry. What's this list?
The best 35 songs.
I was busy publishing a Wikipedia page.
In the last 35 years from Spin.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is my era.
Black Hole Sun, Soundgarden, 35. At number 34, Royals by Lord.
It's a good song. It was overplayed, but it's an okay song. Not as good as Black Hole Sun. I wouldn't put it on a list, but I don't know.
I just think of it as, you know, 35 of 35, you get one song a year.
Hunger Games, Hunger Games.
To this day, I think Lord looks like Randy from South Park.
Yes. Well, same person.
She gets the one song from 2013. Was it that
good? Oh, that's
good?
What they're doing? They're picking
one? No, they're not. They're not. But, I mean, just saying. Okay. Anyway. 33, Back to Black, Amy Winehouse.
God, that's a great song.
That's a great pick, too, because, I mean, isn't the temptation to pick Rehab?
Yeah, that one's a way better. I mean,
Rehab's it's a much better song.
That one's the best one on her albums.
I love her cover.
Or Valerie.
Of All My Lovin', by the way.
What?
Just saying. She has a great cover of Beatles songs.
What about her cover of... Okay.
Of cover of what?
Valerie. Isn't that what it's called? Valerie. You don't know that one?
Wait, the Monkey song?
No. I don't even know the band that does it.
Steve Winwood?
No. I don't even know who did it originally.
Valerie Loves Me by the Material Issue? No, I'm kidding. Number 32 is...
Stop it!
Do you know this song? Hang on. I've been a man and I miss your ginger hair. You don't know that one? Song.
God, it's got a great beat. Who does the original?
So this song's actually on that Mark
it's
Ronson
funny.
Album.
I just heard like 30 seconds of that song and I like it immediately.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't happen very often.
Great song.
It has horns in it though. Clark would hate it.
I'm okay with horns.
This part's crazy.
Man, I'm dying to know who does the original.
I'll look it up for you.
How many Valerie
songs?
Probably
a band we don't even know.
Number 32 is Pearl Jam, Jeremy.
Cool. Meh.
Number 31, Still D-R-E.
Yeah, God's a great
Dre,
song.
Featuring Snoop Dogg from 2001.
That's a really good song.
Number 30. This is an interesting choice. Jesus to a Child, George Michael. I feel like a George Michael song.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Belongs because George Michael was huge.
Is that his best one, though?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was
Shouldn't it be Freedom 90?
Well, that's a big song.
I fucking love that song.
If you're trying to do the right thing, I want to listen to a couple of George Michael tracks after the show.
I think Freedom 90 would be a good walk-up song, too, really. Can you picture Cam walking up to this?
I don't want him to start dancing in the box.
Yeah, this would be a good one.
Mainly because this is a great video.
It's got some bongos in it.
This is the video with all the supermodels in it.
Oh, yeah.
Sings too fast, though. Too many.
Man, I tell you, I wanted to send him the Hoodoo Gurus because they're an Aussie band, and there would be like three people at every game who would think he was the coolest fucking guy in the world for picking the Hoodoo Gurus. Leilani. It's got a funky beginning. It, also, the danger of dancing exists.
Sounds like Chelsea Dagger in the beginning there.
Oh,
sounds like that. That's kind of cool.
Ah, I'm telling you, the Hootie and the Blowfish are a great band.
All right. I'll write that down.
Sorry, where were we?
At number 29, The White Stripes.
Which one? Ball and a Biscuit?
No.
What?
Dead Leaves Are Seven Nation Drunk. Army. Oh, no.
No?
Really? It's not going to be Fell in Love with a...
I don't know.
We're going to be friends.
Really?
From the Napoleon Dynamite soundtrack.
You have so many better
I know.
Songs.
I love that song. I mean, for me personally, no, I was like, song. Wow, what a cool pick. But I just didn't know, is that the White Stripes song?
It's just so different from a lot of their songs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love the song. Yeah. I adore the song.
I wish you'd get out of my life and shut up.
This reminds me of the Juno soundtrack.
Of all time.
Sorry.
It's on Juno, yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's at the very end, isn't it? Walk with
me. Are you serious?
But this over Icky Thump?
See, I'm okay with it because I just love the song. It's one of the songs I feel like you could listen to in 100 years.
Isn't this one better? Do you know this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a few others that
Blue Orchid.
You could put in that category, too.
Who doesn't like it because there's too much Meg?
Too much what?
Meg.
Oh, too much Meg? Nah, Meg's fine. I'm fine with Meg. Number 28. It had to be on here. It had to be on the list. Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses.
Ah, cool.
I'm surprised not higher, actually. Number 27, I guess it had to be on the list too. It's another one of those where I go, is this the song for this band? Maybe it is. R.E.M., Losing My Religion.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a big song.
That song was massive. And if you'd ever watched that Netflix show I was nerding out about. Probably.
Which Netflix show? What's the name of the show?
I was telling you about it. It just goes really deep on Losing My Religion. Explains the writing process of it.
Oh, the music show.
I have a newfound respect for that song.
Well, what's the show called?
I can't remember the name.
Number 26.
I don't remember it.
Neil Young. I was, first of all, I go, wait, Neil Young since 1985?
Oh.
Because he doesn't have that many, you know,
current.
Huge. I just want to think Neil Young. I think Heart of Gold. I think Old Man. I think Harvard Cinnamon Gold. Girl. I think The Needle and the Damage
buddy,
Done.
Are you here, Neil?
Rockin' in the Free world.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking Up, Neil Young.
Whoa.
From 1990.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, they just want to put that in there so people couldn't read the list.
It does sound ballsy. One of the greatest, simplest, breath-paralyzing opening guitar riffs of any song ever. Can we play Fucking Up by Neil Young, please? I want to hear this.
Wow, paralyzing.
Sustained in its monosyllabic chords throughout, never letting go of your throat.
Did Gary write that?
Gary.
And he sung incoherently, spat-out lyrics are inaudible rage. They're actually great lyrics, but you'll have to look them up to know what they are.
What album is it on?
Apparently, we're all fuck-ups. Duh. Knew that. But only Neil Young, yes, only Neil Young, can burn that into your soul like a cattle brand.
Oh!
Fucking Up. No. Neil Young, 1990. Well, you can't find it?
Well, he spells it with an asterisk and an exclamation point and a pound.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam covers this.
Carry such an easy load.
Don't you know any other goddamn tune?
It's how you look and how you feel.
I do like the song. I have to be honest, when I first saw it, I was like, wait, I don't even remember that track, but I do. Whether it's one of the best 35 songs in the last 35 years, I don't know.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that.
Probably not.
Sprint likes to be edgy, though.
Yeah. Well, clearly, the White Stripes choice was really it. That was out of the box.
They could have kept that one off.
At 25, Fiona Apple.
Well, on.
Criminal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great song. You don't like that song?
No,
it's a good walk-up song, but...
Hey, man, you done with that Apple car?
All right, play.
I'm done with that fart. You want that?
Let me think about going up to bat.
And it's just stupid that I'm in this world.
It's a good walk-up song.
damn apple.
If you're playing on a melancholy at bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Another
great video, too.
Yeah, I remember the video. It's actually kind of cool. It's a good song. 24 from Run DMC.
What? King of Rock?
Any guesses?
As
the song explains.
King of Rock? It better not be Walk This Way.
Yeah. I
don't know. It's tricky?
Yes.
It's tricky?
It's tricky.
Oh,
as the song explains, song. Rap isn't as easy as it sounds. It's tricky.
I think it's very vital to rock around. That's right. On top. It's tricky. Here we go. Bloodhound Gang. Bloodhound Gang covered this, Trudy.
Dig them.
Who covered it?
Bloodhound Gang.
Oh.
Well, I know Trudy likes it. To rock around. Yeah. To rock around. That's right. On time is tricky. 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 I met this little girlie. Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to leave real early. These girls are really sleazy. All they just say is please me. Or spend some time and rock a rhyme. I said it's not that easy. Yeah! I remember my mom found my Run DMC cassette tape. I don't think she's very happy.
Did she
actually listen to it? What is Mark listening to?
No, I think she moved my car. And it was
ow!
Oh, it was in the cassette deck?
I'm almost positive it was Run DMC.
Hi, Mommy.
Well, Run DMC's not dirty, so I don't know.
I bet there's a lot of good stories out there of parents turning on a car with a loudspeaker going in songs that they weren't supposed to hear.
I remember I had some friends over, and she came down. We were watching New Jack City, which really is not that bad, I don't think, for a high schooler to watch.
Not sure be Rose's except pick.
She walked in right during the sex scene.
Timing.
She was also not happy when she found out that I went to Coming to America, because I think I was 13.
Whoa, really?
Mike Schwartz took us. My friend's older brother took us. What was I supposed to do?
I remember this girl, Cindy Burt was her name, when we were in seventh grade.
She sounds hot.
Cindy was pretty hot, and her mom was hot, too. Hey. Mom was a young mom. Nice. Hot mom. She was probably... Let's see, Cindy would have been 14, 15. She's probably like 36, 37, and hot. I mean, hot. And she was a cool mom.
That's right. She's not a regular mom.
I have been with my share of guys, but I have never had two guys at once.
Is that her?
Not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
There she is. And I would say this was quite clear. She was Cindy's best friend, and Cindy was her best friend.
Aww.
And so when we wanted to see an R-rated movie, we just had to have Cindy's mom take us.
All right.
And I distinctly...
I like you, Cindy.
I distinctly remember her dropping off like six of us at... God, what was the movie? It would have been like...
Because that's what best friends do.
It would be like 73, 74, 75.
Behind the green door?
No, it wasn't porno. Oh. She would have, though. She would have. And when we got up to pay, you know, it was one of those big marquees and you're outside... And the guy looked at us like, really? And Cindy pointed to her mom in the car who's waving like, yeah, it's okay. Cindy's my best friend.
All right.
Because that's what best friends do.
And so we went in and saw it.
Wow.
I want to know what movie it is now.
I'm going to go look at 73, 74, 75, figure it out. I want to say it's 74. At number 23, Lana Del Rey.
Ugh. No thanks. Next.
Video games.
Yeah, whatever.
I know, I was disappointed in
that,
too.
She is the most overrated artist in the last 25 years.
I couldn't agree more. At number 22, it's Beck with Loser.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love that song.
Chart hit.
I'm sure there are cooler Beck picks, but I did love that song.
The last album he put on, I think it was the last album, maybe 4 years ago, Colors, is really, really good.
Yeah, I remember when that came out.
And we talked about it because nobody around here played it in radio.
I know.
But Troy was playing it in Chicago.
Strangely, I actually, you know, because with Google Play, I think that's where I did it. I just brought the album up and started listening to it straight through. And it was like,
so good.
Wow, when's the last time I listened to a new album straight through?
How that strange. One's worth it.
At number 21, Mama Said Knock You Out, LL Cool J.
Cool.
At number 20... Chris Isaac.
Oh, Dangerous Games? Is that what it is?
Wicked Game.
Wicked Game.
Wicked Game. I know the ladies will like that pick.
Oh, no.
That's another pretty hot video with is that Christina Evangelista in that?
It was a hot video. I don't know who it was. At number 19, this is interesting because these guys are back
Fun
together.
Fun fact, by the way, Bentley loves that song.
Bentley likes that song?
Yes. Not joking.
Wow.
Bentley is he likes a lot of music.
He's a little
open-minded. Estrogen. He loves old music. He loves classic rock. I'm surprised you're criticizing him like again.
He's gay?
I just hear him getting rock right now.
And we are counting down the top 35 songs of the last 35 years from Spin magazine. And as we close in on the halfway mark, at number 19, a band that broke up but recently reunited with talk of a new album and touring when possible.
Ooh.
This band is called Midnight Oil.
Oh.
Oh, really?
And the song is...
Heads Are Burning?
Heads Are Burning.
Oof. It's a cool song.
It's a great song. It is.
Didn't one of the guys from Midnight Oil just bite it?
Oh, somebody died in Midnight Oil? I swear to God, I thought they were reuniting.
Yeah, we talked about him reuniting because I remember saying, I hope he's got a giant head of hair. Wouldn't that be great if he had just...
Nah, he can't do that.
What?
Shtick is he's shaved head. He was ahead of his time.
But that'd be cool if he had like shoulder-length hair or an afro.
What if he just had a horrible toupee and he was actually ahead of his time because it became cool?
Yeah, Trudy, really bad Bones toupees. Hillman died.
Never heard of him, but yeah, I heard he was from Midnight Oil.
Like 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Who is he?
There goes the tour.
What did he play? I didn't even know what he played.
Bones?
Looks like bass.
Bass player?
Oh, really?
He's got a stand-up bass guitar here.
Oh, stand-up bass? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, his friends called him Bones.
Another good walk-up song.
By the way, I was going through the Rick Beato top 20 drum opens.
Yeah.
He also says, have we ever gone through the list of the top 20 drum fills? I don't think we have.
It seems like we've done drum opens, though.
I think we did do drum opens, but in this one, of course, he brought in a drummer because...
What?
With the drum opens, you got to have them. There were a few songs on the list that were questionable copyright, you know, whether somebody would really enforce the copyright. So he wanted to have him there just in case. And I forgot what song it was, but Rick said, I'm gonna actually pick up a bass for this one. And he played the upright stand-up bass.
Oh,
was
like, Beato!
Not cool. Necessary, Beato.
I'm
you
glad
took the
did.
Attention away from the drummer, and the list is the top 20 drum opens. So I had a big problem with Beato for that one.
I think that's cool.
I thought it was very Beato-off-y. And we are at number 18. We are at the halfway mark of the top.
It's taking us forever.
35 songs.
I couldn't be happier about it.
Yeah,
it's
me
a
too.
Good list. It's not politics. Isn't that the standard now?
No.
Amen, man.
No more politics.
I know. It's really tough because you can't get away from it. It's virtually
impossible. When I came in this morning and I said this story about Pfizer is just phenomenal. This is great. This means a lot. And you went, is Kamala Harris going to take it? It's like,
okay.
What's 17?
Well, you know, that's the
I wasn't even thinking about the politics of it.
The immediate inclination is to be a smartass,
sure.
A political smartass about almost anything, you know, like when they were showing the Biden abrasions on Saturday, I would immediately point at the screen, even though there's no one in the room going, did the thing, you know, like I'm really worried about it.
Yeah. I know you are.
17, 18.
18 is the Stone Roses. I Want to Be Adored.
Oh.
I think that's probably a fairly popular pick. I mean, I can't guarantee it.
It's a slow intro. Terrible walk-up.
Oh, it's a long song, isn't it? How long is it?
4:52.
Oh, what am I thinking of? They got a 9-minute song. It's also quite beloved.
9 minutes?
I know. This is a kind of a droney, groovy. It's got a great groove. I like it.
It's not who I thought the Stone Roses were.
Hoo-ah from me.
Do you confuse them with
Play a little bit more.
You're thinking of I Am the Resurrection, Drew. It's like a really long tune.
I don't think that's right, Brandon.
I don't even know. This is like the first time I've ever heard of the Stone Roses, so I'm learning all this in a quick Google.
They've been around a long time.
Wait, you never... Brandon? You never heard of Stone
Roses?
Heard of
Stone Roses. I've never heard of them.
Are you anti-Britpop?
Well, I mean, I'm from American, so I speak American and I listen to American.
Get out!
I like my boy bands from America, too.
Have you heard of Blur?
Well, I mean, yeah, sure, but I like Deftones better because they're from America.
Ooh, wow.
America!
Point counterpoint.
Oasis? I've heard of Oasis. I'm wondering.
Oasis? Yeah, I mean, sure, but I like Rage Against the Machine better than them, too.
Wow, he comes back.
From America.
Didn't know you felt so strong about these things. Interesting. Okay, I'm trying to get my list to come back up. If you didn't notice, I was stalling for time. I didn't think I'd ever be stalling for time with this, particular
America,
list.
Then you can get it.
How bad is the internet down here? For crying out loud! You know, let me do it. Let me do this while we're waiting.
Like you don't know.
If you don't
about
love
that.
It, leave it. USA number one.
Zod Ford and Holly is back in black, and they're glad to be back. Back to offering their incredible Black Friday sales event. Black Friday is the best time to take home the remaining 2020 inventory while putting fat stacks of cash back in your pockets. How about $6,000? $6,000 in your pocket. Plus the 60 months. Man, what a great walk-up
God,
song for the commercial.
A good one, yeah.
Do we have walk-up songs for commercials?
We do now.
0% financing for 60 months and up to $6,000 cash back in your pocket on most remaining inventory. You heard right. Get a brand new whip from Zod Ford with 0% financing. Yeah!
Nice post.
Thank you. And 6K cash back in your pocket.
Go Blacks!
Go ahead, buy gifts, pay bills, or just get the hell out of Dodge. No one cares. Plus, during Zod Ford's Black Friday sales event, you can lease the all-new loaded 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4 while supplies last, as low as $216 a month.
And he was black.
So, this is one of those get off your ass. Don't show up in a week and say, any of those 2024 Explorers left for $216? No! Jump on it! And now, the one we've all been waiting for, the legend is back. Lease the new 2021. Just have to pause there. The new 2021 Ford Bronco Sport. Woo! Just over $300 a month. Our friends at Zod Ford are back with their Black Friday sales event. You can get all the details and explore their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
That's how I roll.
Whoa.
What's the next one? I need a walk-up for it.
We need a walk-up for Dr. Roche.
Which is also back in black because they're back in black, too.
Trudy, you're ahead of the walk-up song.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
Hang on.
We're going to have a walk-up song. It's got to be appropriate.
Ready? Here we go.
Okay, go.
Whoa. Why was this selected as a walk-up song?
I don't know. I got a better one.
Ah, kind of like it.
Somebody get me a doctor?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love it.
Guys.
Good version, too.
That's perfect one to read Roche over.
Fine, then I want the outro music.
It's
Bad Case of Loving You?
Black Friday at Dr. Roche's all month long. Look no farther than Dr. Roche. Non-surgical, non-invasive, evolved. 6 treatments, Rona and Virju, $5,800 usually, but now $2,500. They tighten your skin, they tone your muscles underneath, and get rid of all of that unsightly cellulite as well.
Boobs!
Exactly! You read my mind! That's what I was going to say next, that the sweater will look much better with breast augmentation. They're special, $500 off in November. And BBL treatments, 3 photo revelation and 3 regular for a mere $1,000. More than $1,000 off right now. Also, I don't know, do you have anything for Diva? Diva, which is one of the most unregretted procedures of them all at Dr. Rose's office.
Yes, there's one for it. Are you thinking the same thing I'm thinking? Or yeah.
Diva, get
do
Diva.
Do we have it? Do we have that song in there? I think we're thinking about the same one.
Yeah, but I thought it was in here. Damn it.
Diva, by the way, with a G-Shot special.
Back it up a little bit so I'll be ready for it.
Okay.
I forgot who did it, though. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, where were we?
It's also something really huge. They're going to do Diva specials all month long because it is Black Friday in November. Diva Therapy, the lowest price of the year, one treatment, $1,500. On special for $1,200. Your vagina will never be tighter.
Ooh, yeah. I still can't find it. I totally ruined
Plus,
it.
Plus, get a free G-Shot, which is a $1,200 value. So that is using your money wisely at Dr. Roche's office, and they do teleconsultations to 248-338-1110. And go to see what those different procedures are all about at DRROCHE.com.
Okay. I'm still recovering from the pushback on I Want to Be Adored by the Stone Roses. It's a great song.
It was mild pushback.
Brandon, is this the song you were thinking of?
Not for Brandon.
Is this the song we were thinking of for Dr. Roche?
Oh, Dr. Roche. Hmm. Yes.
I don't know why we didn't have it in the system.
Some of them are hairy. Some of them are bald.
Let's go sniff out some bees.
Some are kinda scary. And this is what they're called.
The genitalia!
Vagina! Vagina!
Yes.
They call that thing.
What's the matter, honey? Some extra cheese on the taco?
Okay, bye.
Yeah. And then I was going to go with this on the outro.
I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I believe in silicone. Where they from? You just a thing.
Yeah.
Can't believe them breasticles.
That is it, and it is a party at Dr. Roche's, so.
Okay.
Almost too many songs for Roche. Okay, what was 7?
I was going to say another song that could actually be a walk-up song is Look Sharp by Joe Jackson, but I'm not sure it has a long intro. Anyway.
This would be a good walk-up song for Cam.
Could make it work.
Huh?
Could make it work.
I think Australia would like it.
Oh, they love boobs.
At number 16, Morphine.
God, I've thought of these songs in the 80s.
In Spite of Me.
Oh, maybe I don't know it. Never mind.
I don't know the song. Known for combining unusual flavor of blues, jazz, and rock. They called Low Rock. Bassist and lead vocalist Mark Sandman. No relation to Nick Sandman, I don't think. And only one N. Resorted to a melodic whisper with their deceptively sweet-sounding single In Spite of Me, featured on the soundtrack for the 1994 indie film Spanking the Monkey.
Huh.
Sandman died of a heart attack while performing with Morphine in Italy in 1999. I read about that. Wow. Freaky. And the group disbanded, leaving behind a small but mighty legacy.
They could have left this off the list.
Last night, I told a stranger.
If the guy just died on stage last night, I would understand.
Boring.
I kind of like the vocals. It kind of goes a different direction from what you're thinking.
It's kind of like...
I just get bummed when I... They have a top 35 list of the last 35 years, and there's a song on it that I don't know at all.
Wow.
Sort of feel like, where was I, or what's up with his list?
Sure, do you like his vocals?
I kind of like that whole. He's like a Billie Eilish.
That's what I was going to say. You don't like Billie Eilish doing it.
Pre-Eilish Eilish.
Sexist. What a sexist.
I like a guy whispering in my ear.
At number 15 is a popular pick in this room because the artist is the Beastie Boys.
Oh, yeah.
What is the song?
Sabotage.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are correct.
I love Sabotage.
It is Sabotage. At number.
Yeah.
Good walk-up song.
Oh, God, the best. You got to send him this. This is it. Dude, this is it.
Is it better than when the levee breaks? That's a tough standard.
I don't know. It's kind of energetic.
Yeah, fair enough.
Up-tempo.
I like the... What's that song? There's a Bowie song I wanted to send him, but I knew he wouldn't like it, so I didn't. called Stay. It's got an incredible long intro.
You only hear what you want to. That one?
No.
Who's the,
I'm not sure if the first, like, 20 seconds, but I know there's somewhere in that minute and 20-second intro.
Who's the guitarist?
Oh, I was going to say Carlos Alomar, but I think it's
the other one.
Oh, God damn it. He's played with...
Stay...
He's playing a lot of people, but he plays with Bowie a lot. It's, what's his fucking name? It's really crazy. He's played with Bowie a lot.
Who the hell
is
Eduardo Sanchez?
While you're thinking and looking it up, number 14 is Pepper by the Butthole Surfers.
Oh, that's a cool song.
That is a really wild pick.
It's a great song, though.
Yeah.
It's another good one.
Trudy, I'm going nuts. Why can't I think of this guy's name?
Oh, God.
Always had so many great guitarists. Carlos Alomar, Peter Frampton for a while.
Earl Slick.
And Earl Bronson. Slick. Yes, it's Earl Slick.
Yeah. Oh, this one.
I mean, what a cool song. It's so different from anything.
I just heard another cover of this tune. I think it was on Umbrella Academy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a great series for music.
It is one of the best,
not seen it yet.
Best TV series that has used music, the way they incorporate it. It's really good, except too many dance sequences.
You know, when I think of Bowie and guitarists, I think of Mick Ronson.
Yeah?
I used to always just think of Mick Ronson, but because he's on Ziggy Stardust and a lot of the early stuff, Suffragette City. I mean, he's fantastic.
He had an ear for guitarists. He really did.
He was a great producer, too.
Stevie Ray and everyone.
And then there's Carlos Alomar. There's Earl Slick. There's Robert Fripp.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know Robert Fripp worked with David Bowie? I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
He's quite a heady guitar player. Adrian Belew.
Oh, yeah.
Another very talented guy. And let's see. Stevie Ray Vaughan! Stevie Ray Vaughan is on the whole Cat People and Modern Love and Let's Dance.
Yeah.
The Let's Dance album. He was all over it until Bowie got cheap on him. Reeves Gabrels, too.
Yeah. Stevie just wanted to do his own thing anyway. So.
Yeah. I think Stevie's big gripe was that Bowie was not paying
him
cheap.
Enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always hate hearing that. It's such a bummer. It's like, I don't want to think of Bowie as being
David
cheap.
David Bowie.
David was kind of a mastermind of production, you know? So I guess he would.
Tony Visconti.
No, these are.
David Bowie.
David Bowie for Slow Burn.
Number 13. I think everybody will know the song, Dear God by XTC.
Yeah.
That's a great song. God, that's a cool song. I'm sure some people will be.
Dear God, here we go.
Livid about it, but
it's a cool song.
It's a great choice.
They're not over it by now.
People can be a little stuck. At number 12, Trudy should know the song. Hopefully she can guess it because it's Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, not Are You Gonna Go My Way.
Right.
No. That'd be too easy.
Let Love Rule?
Yes.
Is it?
Love Rule.
Name of his book, too.
I would hope it'd be It Ain't Over Till It's Over, Over. Or Fly Away.
Fly Away's a great song.
Yeah, I kind of like the guitar.
Seems like the easier picks. In a 1998 interview with Tracy Pepper, Kravitz explained, when I did Let Love Rule, everyone said, what a naive piece of shit it was. Journalists would ask, don't you feel funny singing about that? And I was like, if I were sitting here singing about the devil and raping children, then it'd be okay. God forbid you sing about love! It's a lost concept.
Yeah. This rules, though. This is a pants ripper.
Yeah, it ripped his. His dong was flapping all over the place.
Yeah. But
you know what song would never be on there by Lenny Kravitz? Is American Woman. Why did he cover that song?
Oh.
Did you like that cover?
Not really. No.
You love Lenny Kravitz. Did you like that cover?
I like Lenny Kravitz. True, did you like it?
I like that song.
I just didn't like his version.
Personally, I really loved the original, and it was hard to. I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, it was different, and I think that's the way you should go. And actually, the song is so good. That was a big hit, wasn't it, for Lenny?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it brings that music back, which
I love.
Yeah,
I always love that. At number 11, this is a song I kind of forgot about because I sort of forgot that it would have even qualified for the last 35 years, but it is from, let's see what year, 1986. So it barely was eligible. 1987, actually. U2. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Oh.
Great song.
Right.
It is a cool song.
Hello, hello.
That's a cool song.
It's It's a little like too perfect and Bono, perfect and, you know, the gospel singers and all that. But it is a great song.
Define the 80s.
Undeniable.
Late 80s. It's with the twangy guitar.
Not a good walk-up song.
If you picked it up here, it might be okay.
For the city of, what is it, the city of, God, how about Paris? The city of something light.
A U2 song?
Yeah. Run along the back to Dublin and find yourself a bottle to crawl into.
Wait, an alternate U2 pick?
Yeah, that's what I was proposing.
Hmm. Where the streets have no name? City for the last 35 years.
It's a beautiful day.
I love that.
It's a good song.
City of Blinding Lights, that is. Yeah.
Okay, number 10 and number 9, I think, may have some complaints.
Stuck in a moment.
Choosing one Tracy Chapman song for this list was a tough order.
Oh, boy.
What? Really? What?
No, they're like, why naming, is that a tough order?
Naming more than one would be.
As her multi-platinum debut album, Tracy Chapman is nothing short of songwriting perfection. Not at all the American chart topper of her debut single, Fast Car.
If they picked anything other than Fast Car.
No, it's not Fast Car.
I'm throwing your phone on the street. It's ridiculous.
This song did well internationally, and since its 88 release, has been covered as a peaceful protest hymn for decades.
What?
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get it.
What's the song?
She hasn't. I'm just trying to think of the second Tracy Chapman song that I like.
There's one. I know what it is.
Give me one reason.
If you're leaving, give me one reason. I was going to say, yeah, you're leaving me, and you might want to think about coming back to
one
me.
One reason.
Or something like that.
This isn't a bad song.
No, I think it's a good song. I like this song.
So what they choose?
It wouldn't have been number 10. Talking about a level revolution.
Oh, okay. She had a lot more songs than
No one knows that song.
I think I know the song, but like barely. Can you play it, please?
Jesus Christ, she had a lot of songs that I don't know.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get it.
Why did they feel they had to pick a Tracy Chapman song?
Don't you know we're talking about a revolution?
I think that's what bugs me about the pick more than anything.
They had to do it?
Is it for diversity? Because that's my suspicion right off the bat.
For diversity, they've already had multicultural
choices. I know, but
we just talked about Lenny.
I'll explain why this is fresh on my mind in a minute.
It's all right. I like this song.
Bullshit.
I'm more disturbed that it was actually hard to nail down one song for a list of the best 35. Really?
Not.
Okay, number 9 will annoy probably the entire band. You know, 3 bizarre guitar blasts before the first chorus. Supposedly they're an attempt to sabotage a song the guitar player thought was kind of weak. And though it's said to have been nicknamed crap by the band, it strikes the perfect balance between ethereal songwriting and eternal slacker theme tune.
Oh, Nirvana.
Nope.
Eternal slacker. STP, no.
Let me read it again.
Start over, sorry.
You know those 3 bizarre guitar blasts before the first chorus? Supposedly they're blank's attempt to sabotage a song he thought kind of weak. Now, he's not the main guy in the band, but he's the guitar player. And though it's said to have been nicknamed crap by the band, it strikes the perfect balance between ethereal songwriting and eternal slacker theme tune.
Huh.
It's one of those songs that a band is known for, and they probably wish they were known for.
Oh, I know what it is. It's Creep.
It's Creep.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
100%, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's...
And it is a great song. They didn't write it, though, did they?
Yeah, they wrote it, but they stole the song. They had a big lawsuit from... the Hollies? Is the Hollies that had a...
Oh, The Air That I Breathe?
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is a phenomenal song.
The Air That I Breathe?
Well. Yeah, and they would not play this live for the longest time. And then Thom one day woke up and was like,
Everybody likes this song a lot.
Well, he's not as cantankerous as he used to be, and he kind of understands
that. Oh, because he got married.
Well, no, it was even before that, but he realized that, oh, we have a pretty big catalog. We should probably play some of these older songs. But they didn't play Creep for a long fucking time.
Huh. I don't know why.
They still rarely play it.
I thought it was a cover. Did they always give the Hollies half writing credit?
No, they had. I think they went to court over it.
Oh, okay. And they lost?
Yeah, no, they get writing credit now.
Okay.
They have so many better songs. I'm going to be a Radiohead snob now.
Well, you know they're going to hate that that song is number nine, even though it's number nine. Fuck, you're number nine in the top 35 years. That's pretty cool for most people.
I swear, you know, I like the song Exit Music for a film. I think I played it for you before, the Radiohead song. And it is. I just found another show that it's in the Umbrella Academy. I swear to God, that song has been used in so many movies.
I swear, sometimes
Exit Music for a film, I think. It's, yeah.
I know songs better from movie soundtracks than I do from anywhere else. Because I associate, I mean, if it's a movie I really like, especially all those Goodfellas songs. I so remember the scene, you know, whether it's What Is Life by George Harrison when he's looking at choppers overhead, or whether it's Atlantis playing, you know, Get Your Shine Box and stabbing him in the face, or it's
Layla at the end.
Oh God, what a great choice that was. There's just so many, and they're so good. Number eight, it is a local man.
Huh.
A local man.
Kid Rock?
Is not Kid Rock.
Eminem.
It is Eminem.
Oh, wow.
Lose Yourself.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be Lose Yourself.
He's bored with that song.
He might be. Now, that's a song also that's showing up all over the place. Even Joe Biden's using it! He did. He licensed it to Joe Biden like 2 days before the election, right?
That's what swung the election.
Yeah, if Trump had only had it. At number seven, it is Nirvana.
Is it going to be Teen Spirit?
It is. Yeah, it is Teen Spirit. Yeah, it had to be, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, number six is
I mean, Tracy Chapman was in Fast Car.
Number six will raise a few eyebrows. It's a great song. I just don't know if it's this good. American Anthem, part tribute, part protest, part get your shit together, America outrage.
Is it a Green Day song?
Tells the plight of the American farmers.
Oh, no, not Neil Young.
Peaked at number two on the charts and established this man as one of America's great songwriters and a voice of conscience. I agree.
It is
Mellencamp, and he is. I think he's one of America's best songwriters. I totally agree with that.
What
statement.
Song?
Rain on the Scarecrow.
Oh.
I don't even know that song.
It's a great song. I think there are a lot of great John Mellencamp songs. I'm not sure. It seems to me this is a snobby pick because it's important.
Yeah, why not?
I would think Pink Houses are, you know.
Pink Houses. Hurt So Good.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick that, but if you're looking for an important John Mellencamp song, I love Pink Houses. I love the way he stretches it out to 8 or 9 minutes. Live.
Yeah,
cool
but that
song.
Came out more than 35 years ago.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. What about Small Town? That's important.
I hate that song.
I was never a fan of that song either.
I also hated Jack and Diane.
Oh, I hate that too.
I liked it until I heard it too many times. I hate talking about all the John Mellencamp songs I don't like because I love John Mellencamp, but R.O.C.K. in the USA, one of my big favorites either. Okay, Madonna had to be on the list, right?
Sure.
And she's at number five. Which Madonna song?
Ray of Light.
No, that's a great song.
It's like the one of the.
It is a good song.
Like a Virgin or Like a Prayer.
It's Like a Prayer.
One of those two. Yeah, one of the like.
I don't. I wouldn't pick this as the. I don't know. I'm not a Madonna huge fan. I like a lot of her songs. I really do.
Remember what a big deal Like a Prayer was when
it
came out.
It's kind of dramatic.
Because of the video, there were a lot of protests about it.
I think that's why I don't like it as the pick, maybe. Because I don't hate the song. I have songs of hers that I really like Borderline. I like that song.
Yeah.
La Isla Bonita.
No, I don't like that song.
What?
I do not like that song. I like Hollywood. That would never
like
make a
song.
List like this, but Hollywood's a great song.
Great walk-up song, by the way.
Oh, and also... Wait.
I can see it.
What's the guy say about Britney Spears kissing Madonna?
Openly.
Openly kissed Madonna? Yes. Yeah. That was during Hollywood, the song Hollywood.
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
Loop.
He Yeah, you know why I don't like it? Because Madonna's trying to be cool, and she's trying to, like...
That's all she ever does.
We've got some great Latin rhythms in here, and, you know, I think I was ahead of the curve on that. And I'm fucking a Latin guy, too, just to sort of make it complete.
Family. Just have a kid.
Life is a mystery. One thing we've
learned. And I realized I could just steal kids from an impoverished nation later on in life.
I was so pleased that I was able to prove that I am a better choice for a parent than the child's father himself, who also loved and wanted the child. Yeah, it's very catchy.
It's not a bad song.
It's very catchy. Life's a mystery. The one thing we can count on is Madonna's willingness to stand alone and create controversy. Though they sang on the recording, the Andre Church Gospel Choir refused to appear in the video, which, due to the depiction of stigmata, yeah, burning crosses, and Madonna kissing a black man, all combined to the American Family Association and the Vatican disavowing it. Bless you, Madonna.
God, I go to church every goddamn Sunday.
Okay, I don't really have a lot of problems with the list. I think it's an interesting list. I'm not happy with the top four.
No way.
At number four, fuck the police, NWA.
Hey, kind of like it.
It's like the most memorable song from that album,
you
probably.
You know what that's about, right?
Yeah, of course.
He got a speeding ticket, and that's why he was mad, and he wrote that song.
Hey, I thought he was a doctor. Now he's a judge. Guy accomplished a lot. And he's motherfucking eat. Order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass? You goddamn right. What a weird court.
I mean, I like the song. I just... the police coming straight from the underground. And I love the Marvin Gaye song, Mercy, Mercy Me, but... Or, I'm sorry, the album... from 1971, which was not Mercy, Mercy Me, but it's the Ecology album. It's about the environment. It's about the streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And it was number one in the Rolling Stone magazine album pick in the updated one.
Yeah.
Somehow it got like 11 slots better than last time. But as much as I love it, I just didn't think it was number one. And the top four here, I feel the same way. Like number three, Sinead O'Connor.
Oh.
Troy.
Troy?
What? Never.
Are we trying to get a diverse top five?
I've never even
Troy.
Heard
of Troy.
I've never heard of the
song. I've never heard of the song either.
Troy.
The song is a masterpiece, as only O'Connor could sing. It's a haunting depiction of family tragedy, the longing underneath...
God, it sounds like it sucks.
...the pain of recalling a disturbing past. The city of Troy is a metaphor for O'Connor's abusive childhood and the anguish of dealing with those epic epic emotions?
Wow, it sounds epic? Really compelling.
Epic? Her emotions are epic?
Just so you know, we're already 30 seconds into the song and nothing has happened.
She so honestly and courageously shares those epic emotions with us. Jesus.
Nice. I wish validating you hadn't your whole list with this.
Didn't she die of starvation a few weeks back?
I hope
Sinead?
So.
Yeah, I remember she was begging people to send her food.
Oh, yeah, she needed people to go get food for her. I think she was just too lazy to go shopping. And she wanted attention.
She's always wanted attention. And you know who ruined her, right?
Oh, Peter Gabriel?
Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that just like James Taylor?
I think so, yeah.
Run along the back to Dublin and find yourself a bottle to crawl into.
This song is terrible.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. Okay, can you cue this one up because it's number two?
That is awful.
And this is a very strong artist. She does turn up on lists like this.
She?
I just don't know about
a lot of women. A lot of women in this top five.
Oh, I know. It is Tori Amos.
Tori Amos, yes. Breakfast, Cornflake Girl?
Amos. Is it Cornflake Silent Girl? All These Years.
What?
Yes.
It was re-released as a fundraiser for the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network.
Oh, come on.
RAIN, R-A-I-N-N. Great. I didn't even know what RAIN was. An organization she's been involved with since it was founded in 1994, which, you know, that's great. Thank you, Tori.
Number two.
For a career devoted to giving voice to the silent and for one of the most beautiful and powerful songs ever recorded. She's a great singer.
For a while, my dog won't bite if you see me still. I got the Antichrist in the kitchen yelling at me again.
Wow, it sounds really compelling.
She's a fire crotch.
Oh, yeah. Is she a fire crotch?
Oh, yeah.
not true.
Very pretty.
She's a fire Amos, anus.
I like her hair. I wonder if the carpet matches her pubes.
Wait, this maybe is not funny. Anymore.
This is horrifying. Did she cover Smells Like Teen Spirit?
She's done a lot of covers.
Oh, gee.
She does a lot of Beatles covers.
God.
I will say this for her covers. They are very original. I mean, they're
slow.
She's not trying to copy the original.
She's kind of all about getting depressed, huh?
I'd say these are a couple pretty on the downside tunes for Tori Amos.
I thought this was a big hit, though. Cornflake Girl.
Yeah.
Why would these last two songs even be anywhere near this list?
I don't know. Like I said, I felt like, and I was just off of another thing I was paying attention to that sort of, I think, amplified my feelings. This list, I liked it until like the top five, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, is this a diversity thing? They're trying to have, you know, anyone who isn't white or isn't a male in the top five.
Well, let's see who number one is.
You mean you were sitting there and you were all relaxed and chilled out, and then all of a sudden you realized?
I wasn't.
What?
I don't want to say I was heavily triggered or anything. It's just, unfortunately, because I see this so often now, I can sometimes be dismissive because I don't think it's real, because I think people are trying to make the right thing.
Trying to manipulate you?
Yeah, they are. Number one is Fight
the... Oh, it's just the whites? Oh, who cares about the whites? They're fine.
Fight the Power by Public Enemy is number one.
That's a great song.
It's a great song.
You wrote it in like 5 minutes, too.
Huh. I just don't know if it's the number one song from the last 5 years.
It's pretty important, though, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, do you want an important song or a great song?
Well, it's not my favorite song of the last 35 years, but look at the last two picks before it. Maybe they lowered the bar so much that it made me appreciate this one.
Well, they didn't say the 35 most important songs of the last 35 years.
This is a good walk-up song, too.
Sound like you're singing Gibby there, didn't it?
What's that?
Sound like you're singing Gibby.
I love rap songs because it always called out the year, and this one always sounds stupid now when it starts with.
You know, that's my. Year. That's really funny because one of my guilty pleasures is Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah.
1991. He mentions 91, and immediately, like, I go, oh, God, I wish they could change that. There's your best song in the last 35 years, folks.
A cool song.
Let me just check something. Can you check a list of the top songs of the 1980s and the 1990s? I just want to see what comes up, because I have a feeling there's some obvious stuff that's left off this list.
Top songs of the 1990s?
Yeah, in the 1980s, maybe true, check the 80s.
By year? You want them by year? I can do them by, like... Here's the number one.
I prefer the larger list because it just gives you the broader as opposed to the
I didn't hear a couple, most notably Spice Girls Wannabe. That was should have been on there.
Well, but, there's no Bye
or,
Bye
or
Bye.
Or All for Ones, I Swear. But
no Ice see. Ice Baby either.
I didn't see M-Bop or Getting Jiggy with It.
No Michael Jackson, Black or White.
There's no Whitney Houston either.
There's no Whitney.
I'm just saying. I mean, she was a big artist.
So rock songs? Or top 100 songs of the
year? I didn't hear any Savage
Garden. Well, they have songs
Garden.
In there that are not rocking that hard. I mean,
you know, that Whitney Houston's debut LP called simply Whitney Houston had 4 number one singles.
Please don't think that I want Whitney Houston on the list. I don't.
Oh, I can see people putting a Weezer song in there, though.
Here's what I really dig.
I could put a Weezer
Stroken.
Song in
there. That's 100.
Okay, what about Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi?
No.
Pour Some Sugar on Me. No. I'm just rattling off stuff from this list.
Jack and Diane is in there. Safety Dance.
Had the time of my life.
Yep. Yeah, that's close to the top.
Push It, Salt and Pepper, Sweet Child of Mine.
That was
Red, Red Wine.
No.
Like a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer is 4.
Kiss by Prince.
Do you want to
There's
hear,
no Prince song in there.
You want to hear the top
what about
10?
Sign of the Times?
Yeah, do you want to hear the top 10 songs from Rolling Stone from the 90s?
Yes.
Okay. TLC No Scrubs. I kind of like this.
Wait, what about TLC
Waterfalls?
Waterfalls, yeah.
Sin Waterfalls.
Stole it from Paul McCartney.
That you used to.
Kiss by Prince, 1986. Moni Moni, Billy Idol, 1987. Wild Thing, Tone Loc, 1988. seems like Tone Loc could qualify from a sales standpoint.
Do you want the rest of this list?
Africa by Toto.
Oh, fuck that. So TLC No Scrubs is 10. Liz Phair fucking Run is 9.
Why does everyone insist on putting Liz Phair so high on so many lists? And I like Liz Phair. She went to my high school.
Pulp, Common People is 8.
Oh.
Missy Elliott, Super Duper Fly.
Nice.
Pavement, Gold Sound. I mean, look at these snobby lists. Nothing but a G-Thing, Dre and Snoop. Bikini Kill, Rebel Girl. So this is Rolling Stones.
Bikini.
No, More Money, More Problems. Black Street, No Diggity. And their number one song in the 90s was Smells Like Teen Spirit, which is on the list.
Okay.
But I mean, come on. They're no better at making a list.
What about... Is there a Foo Fighters song? I mean, they have very anthemic songs.
Yeah, they should
well, I mean, were any of those songs really like post 2005?
Oh, wow. Well, that's the 90s. Oh, the songs on the spin list?
I mean, we're talking about the top 35 songs of the last 35 years, and I didn't really hear anything after 2005.
They did have, well, what was the song from 2013 I mentioned?
Lord.
There are a couple.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, though, Brandon.
Pump up the jam. Man in the Mirror. Paradise City. Conga, the Miami Sound Machine. Glory Days, Springsteen. No Springsteen songs.
Well, how about No Oasis?
Wonderwall?
It's kind of surprising.
What's the matter with Wonderwall? I mean, doesn't everyone like Wonderwall?
Such a good song.
Isn't that like the kind of song Tom Mazzaway would hate? And yes. People wonder how anyone could hate it?
Wonder if he hates that song.
By the way, he third-personed himself in a tweet today.
I saw that.
It was called to my attention by many of our alert listeners.
Really?
I mean, so many that there's something kind of embarrassing about it.
Like, what did he say? Like, hey, Tom Mazzaway is going out for dinner.
No, yep. It's more clever than that. It's more clever than that. Let's see. Thomas A. Mazzaway. Okay. Here we go. This is just one of the notes to me. Wait. Is this Maz tweeting about an episode he's not on? In the third person? I think a call is in order. Sounds like Maz is mailing it in on his own show. And here's the tweet. Okay. From Maz. It's officially the halfway mark of the NFL season. Hashtag NFL. With Maz out again, Professors Black and Senate hand out their midterm grades. From Tom Mazzaway's Twitter, it's officially the halfway mark of the NFL season. And with Maz out again, Professors Black and Senate hand out their midterm grades.
Maz is out again?
Like, he's missing the show, in other words.
Why is he missing the show?
I don't know. Should we dial him up right now and just find out why he's off?
I just
want
to make sure he's okay.
Is he in the hospital with a sore throat again? Is Lily losing another year of tuition because Tom has a sore throat?
Lily!
I totally forgot about that. He took a pounding for that.
Oh. Has he been hospitalized again?
Didn't even have at Maz so that you could.
Okay. He did not write this tweet. I don't believe it.
No, but it's on his account.
But I know it's on his account, but with Maz out again?
I think he just took the post that they put up for the show and just tweeted it.
I think with Maz out again, doesn't it send a message?
Again, yeah. So whoever wrote it is pretty pissed he took the day off again.
Exactly.
I mean, they only do the show, 3 days a week? Is he on vacation? Maybe he's on vacation.
It seems like he's had plenty of vacation. I
want to ask him about that. What's the other thing we're just talking about? Oh, if he likes Wonderwall.
Oh, yeah. Well, we may have to play it for him.
Does he even know the song?
No. Wonderwall? No, he won't know it. We need to have it queued up and ready to play for him.
He won't know it, but...
But he'll make a quick judgment.
I don't know, but then we'll start playing. He'll go, yeah, that's all right.
That's a possibility. Because he likes the Beatles, and Oasis do reek of the Beatles sometimes.
What other song, though, in the spin top 35 did you guys think he would like?
Give him the top 5.
Oh, no, he'll be appalled. I think it'd be too upsetting. I'm not sure I can even read that list to him.
He'll be out another day.
We should really be focused on his health and welfare.
What if it's serious?
Tommy,
We have to edit this whole part out.
Okay, I hope not. Like the phone call he took in the middle of the show. He was talking real quietly in the other room for 15 minutes.
He's got AIDS.
Oh, he's not answering.
Actually, so interrupted.
Hi, you reached Tom Basley. Sorry, I missed your call. Give me a message and I'll tell you right now. Thanks.
Okay, I'll see
at the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Maz, just checking in. Got your texts about the shooting and all that stuff. But anyway, we're just trying to catch you for a few minutes. Hopefully
Mother
you call back.
Effer.
See you, Maz.
Shit, yeah.
I think I did mention that Tom's current employer is going to sponsor a segment weekly featuring Tom Mazaway.
Nice.
And this is an insurance company.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're all in on this.
Oh, wow.
They really are. I mean, it's a great thing for us, and hopefully it's a great thing for Maz.
No one gives a shit.
How does he get people, how does he get people to invest in this, promote him so much? I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Very persuasive.
He's very persuasive. No, and, you know, Ed Zott, it worked. It worked great.
What are you playing upstairs? Can you hear that? Is that just me?
I wonder what that was.
Well, that speaker, I mean, I'm speaker poor. I spend a lot of money on my speakers.
When's that speaker off happening?
Oh, I'm ready anytime. Hold on. Let me see what I am playing. I'm curious myself.
As he keeps dodging. That list was such a bummer, man. It started off fairly strong.
Oh, my God.
Too.
It was me.
It was. Oh, don't tell him that. Is it? What's it playing?
Rap with Maz.
Oh, okay.
I clicked it accidentally.
That's funny, though. It didn't sound like that. It sounded like music. I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, it's probably about 6 seconds of dead air before anything.
Huh. Huh. Weird.
That's Maz, crazy. Where are you? Okay.
Maybe it was.
Okay, last a couple days ago. This is really funny.
So didn't get it.
Next.
I'm looking for something. I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'd like to ask a favor. My company wants to shoot a short video of us in the studio, like 15-25 second welcome to the DMP type thing from our newest sponsor, Legacy Partners Insurance Incorporated.
Tommy Mazaway.
Legacy Partners Insurance, that is who is going to be a major league sponsor on this show for all of 2021. I mean, this is awesome for us, and hopefully it's awesome for Maz. Most importantly, hopefully it's awesome for Legacy Partners Insurance Incorporated. Let's see, he wants to shoot this thing, and when can we do that? Thanks. Oh, also, what banner size should I have made for your studio?
Whoa, he's making a banner?
So, apparently, just like the other banners, Emergency Response Services Incorporated and Zott have them, I will find out their size. Thanks. Are you okay with shooting a quick video? Just say when. Can you send me a picture of one of the banners so I could show them? Thanks. So at this point, I'm feeling a little put out.
What a homework.
It's rare that these people get the time to make these signs.
Okay.
You have one person who's trying to connect two sides because that's what that person does really well. Is connect two people. And then you have someone who doesn't want to be connected to any side ever. This is great. I love it.
So I answered, got it. It's my day off, so everything feels kind of high maintenance at the moment. Sorry. So then I sent him the picture of the Ursi banner, you know, and the clock, and then looks about 3 feet wide and 2 feet tall to me.
That's
isn't this sort of a standard thing?
Yes.
I don't think they just made it any old size. I sound like a dick.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
I mean, doesn't it seem like there'd be standard choice?
It's pretty standard, yeah.
2x3, you know. And then I added, I'm really pumped when you waive your first commission. Me too. Looking forward to big things. Let me know when you have time to chat so we can come up with a good system.
A system?
Where did these people get the time to make these signs?
Don't ask
really
me.
I know exactly what that meant. Let's see. Then we got on to. Oh. I was asking him a real question about insurance. And then I said, if I was selling insurance, I'm not sure I'd sell it to us, to be honest. Ha, 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 ha. And Matt says, LOL, I'll figure it out. Yeah, pretty dismissive.
My insurance does not cover PMS.
Does he mean all of us collectively or individually?
It's a long story.
Yeah.
I see.
And then he says, how are you? Can you describe the sign material?
Oh, my God.
And then he says, I mean, how would you describe the sign material? So in other words, he didn't mean how are you. He wasn't inquiring about my well-being. Oh, he wanted nice. To sign the material.
Nice. At this point, do you wish you would have just taken the sign and driven it to him?
And then I said, these are a lot of questions. It's a banner. Whatever banners are made of.
Yeah.
That's a perfect answer.
Then he says, is it vinyl? And then I didn't respond to that because I think that came as I was sending my response. And then he says, sorry, I'm getting hammered with questions. I hate being the middleman.
Wait. He said that?
Yes. But he's the salesperson,
he is,
right?
He's being the middleman.
He's the overwhelming beneficiary from this whole thing.
You're fired.
They also want to know when we could shoot the video for the 1,000th time.
Oh, Jesus.
Jeez. Who is shooting it? I'm not really sure.
Oh, my God.
But it's what they want, and we certainly owe them that. And then I said, oh, absolutely. And then he sort of goes on to describe it.
Are you sure you're ready for this?
How great they've been to him and what a great thing this is. And honestly, it is. I mean, we're all delighted.
Tom, I would say this is as good as it gets. Wouldn't you say?
I said, we can do it this week. Tom, take a deep breath. We will get it done. It'll be done well. And he responds, sorry.
Sorry?
I think he just downloaded the previous, like, six texts. No sweat, man. This is not difficult. Thanks, but can you please pick a day and time
so
I can get this done and put this in the rearview mirror? So I said, what time of day? Whatever's easiest for the camera guy is fine with me.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
That's cool. Is there a light day in the studio? Is he talking about menstruation or
like not multiple shows?
Yeah, so definitely not a Tuesday.
Yeah. I know you have a few shows shooting. Yeah. That's why I ask, which is actually a good question.
I'm glad he thought of that.
I said, Wednesday or Thursday would be better. It's the time of day I need. Why does this feel so hard? I mean, we're kind of fucking with each other a little bit here. Well, this is really their first time doing something like this, and after this, it'll be a cakewalk. And then I said I was kidding, and no, we're all delighted with this.
Sure.
By the way, I'm just the middleman here. Time of day?
That's where he thrives.
Again, the time of day he's asking?
I asked.
Oh, I see.
That's all I need. And then I said, yeah, I really feel for the middleman because I'm just on the end, and I hate that.
Why don't you should have just said,
I don't have time for this.
Mass apologizes profusely and says,
ain't nobody got time for that.
He's so sorry, but then he says, trust
sorry.
Me, I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders right now.
Oh, my God.
To figure out a shooting time and the material of the banner. And I responded, I think it's kind of funny to say you have the weight of the world over setting up this shoot, Maz. Lighten up. I am impressed, though, that it could feel this weighty to anyone. So he answers, what time Wednesday is good? The earlier the better, obviously, which is, that's a very much a Mazism, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he really doesn't want to know what time is good. He wants to do it early.
Yeah.
He suddenly comes in. Drew, it turns out that maybe the following week is better. I'll give you a heads up.
Ugh.
Next week's not going to work.
Oh.
So.
Why isn't he just picked a time? I mean, just not on Tuesday, not on Friday.
You should have known my schedule. You should have checked for rescheduling.
You should have just said Wednesday or Thursday anytime before, you know. Just give him a time frame.
Can we call him back?
I don't know. He would call. He usually calls back right away.
Hey, did you know lunch is coming over here tomorrow?
I did.
Oh.
What?
Cool. I just found that out.
New advertising.
The butchery is bringing lunch tomorrow.
Oh, my God. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh. If you want to trade Tuesday for Wednesday or Thursday, you can do that.
Lucky.
Well, they sponsor that show. They sponsor ML. He has been sponsoring ML.
Oh, okay. Okay, so they're coming over to bring lunch to... Oh, I thought they were bringing lunch to me.
Well, they are, because they're going to sponsor this show, too, starting soon.
I see. So I'm getting crumbs.
Big things are happening. No, you can get to it first.
Okay. Huh. Oh, that's true. Yeah, it'll be upstairs before it's downstairs, unless they go in this door.
Your mouth says no, but your fat gut says yes.
I missed that guy.
Yeah, he's probably like
all grown
40.
Up now.
He's probably got a 12-year-old of his own.
Yeah.
Oh, and I have, it's funny, I'm reading my text messages, a lot of messages I wasn't paying attention to, like the butchery coming over tomorrow. I mean, I said, certainly be aware of that. And then Charlie sent me a note. Charlie was on with Martha McCallum today.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He's been on Fox News.
Martha has him on a lot. Martha's good, yeah.
No kidding.
He does well on
there. Yeah, I had a few people drop me a note and said he was really good, too. And he is good. I swear to God. I don't know what it is about Charlie, but somehow he finds a way to be good on TV every fucking time. I saw him with... The only time I've really been nervous for him, because he's not, he doesn't seem like he ever is nervous.
Well, he worked in TV, though. Yeah.
I know, but I just... Do you forget that? I don't know. I just see... cameras make me nervous, first of all, and then this person would make me nervous. When he was on Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, no, he was good on
they're shooting live to tape, and Bill Maher is Bill Maher.
You should get a job making people nervous.
And Maher is really, Maher is a little, I mean, I like Maher. I think he's really funny, but I mean, he would be a guy that you could, he could tie you up in knots in an interview. Just, I mean, if it went askew.
Yeah, but he liked Charlie's book, so he's interviewing about that topic. No, I mean, that's,
honestly, it went enormously well. I thought he was fantastic. But anyway, Charlie's message is... if you gents could find a little space in your show to squeeze this announcement, I sure would appreciate it. Free beer! A friend has gifted me with another 100 cases of beer.
Wow.
I would like to re-gift them to paramedics, firefighters, police, deputies. Oh, what a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Correction officers, nurses, doctors, residents, as a gesture of thanks and respect. First come, first serve. Hmm. Monday, May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
He will be giving people...
May?
May? No, it can't be May.
Yeah, that's he's planning way. Are you, is this an old text that you never send?
Maybe.
Wait.
I mean, that's you know wait, what, that's Mark? Really planning ahead.
You are.
Is this a
why
really
is
old
this
text?
At the top of? Oh, I know why. It's the
oh,
top
because line. You and I are both on the text, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a group text.
This is an ancient text.
So he did
so
do that back
beer?
In May.
Oops.
You know what I did? I was trying to bring text up to the top.
Yeah.
And I.
No, I figured. That's what I figured. Yeah,
thank you.
Oh, no.
Oh, he loves beer.
Well, it was nice of him to do it anyway, even though
yeah,
it was
he's
6 months
times.
Ago.
Did it in
really
the past.
Nice. He's that kind of guy.
God, it's amazing that was 6 months ago.
Oh,
it's really amazing. I know. It freaked me out for a second.
It was like it was just yesterday.
It's amazing. There's 1 month left in this year.
Oh, my God. This has been the worst year ever.
Christmas music starts on Friday on...
Wait, it's already started.
WNIC. Oh, it's already started.
And I
said they were kicking it off
oh
Friday.
Oh, my God, that's funny. I moved Julie's car the other day.
Oh, will this horrible year never end?
Is it, I don't know. We know what 98.7 is now. But they had Christmas music on. Charlotte and I were just moving the cars around. I get in and I go, oh, Christmas music. And she goes, yeah, it's nice. It puts people in a good mood. And I just went, not me. Not me. She's like,
what
why?
A,
I'm
what
like,
a cute just, observation that
yeah.
was.
Char, it's fine.
A six-year-old, of course. Christmas. How could anyone be upset it's about just, Christmas music?
Christmas is going to be so.
Charlotte.
I'm so bummed. A lot of COVID has not bothered me that much. I mean, yeah, it bothers me, but... I could live without a lot of stuff that, you know, with what's going on. Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to kind of bother me.
Mm. Oh,
it's
great.
It's
going to
be so fucking different.
I skipped this message for some reason, too. Boy, I should just go through all my messages, shouldn't I? Wouldn't
yeah,
that be a whole show?
A fun show, going through
Brandon
your messages.
Sending me the political rants on the boner line.
Oh.
Oh, that's you don't really want to get into that bullshit on the air, trust me.
I don't really care. It no, gets, I'm just reading them.
Probably mostly mad at me, so...
It's
well. Some people are actually nice about it. Disagreeing, I never object to people when they're nice. But when people are like fucking patronizing, like this answer to my tweet, which was, my tweet was totally innocuous.
Was it to get an education?
yes, it was in that ballpark, Curtie. I tweeted, "Congratulations to Joe Biden." Yeah. But might want to check with CDC guidelines about the people, you know, it was really,
well,
and,
you know
I,
what?
And I said, I was,
said,
I said, I was joking
no shitty
that.
Tweets.
Yeah.
You even said that.
I said, no shitty responses.
Yeah, no
please.
Shitty responses.
And this guy says, yeah, maybe instead of reading another Beatles book, you should read about elections.
Huh?
Yeah. Cause I didn't understand that the media doesn't decide who the president is. But he apologized.
Oh, Hibby.
He actually did, because I said, well, I didn't want to name him, but
oh, sorry.
He said...
no, it was cool, though. Okay.
I said, I thought he was very patronizing and something else, and then he was still mad. And he said, wait, what did he say? Something about Bush Gore.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and so I said, pick that mic up. It's not a mic drop. Bush Gore has nothing to do with election.
What is wrong with counting the votes?
Why am I participating in this? And then he apologized, and then we're buddies.
That's cool.
It's all
yeah,
cool.
That's yeah. good. No, everybody made up, and that's what everybody
You're
has to do.
You're super awesome.
I think he even apologized twice, actually.
Huh. Everybody yeah, has to make
really
up.
Disappointed in himself, and I was disappointed that I even participated, but... Wow, I love you guys, but I have to say, this is great. Wow, I love you guys, but I have to say, terrible job on the election coverage. The media doesn't decide elections. The right aren't sore losers. We just want evidence the votes are counted fairly. You do a good job of playing the middle.
The votes should be counted.
It suddenly appears you're a bit overenthusiastic. You can thank me when the election is really finalized. It's not been finalized yet. You are better than the low-life media. Disappointed in your coverage. It's not even close to over.
Well, jeez.
Apparently, forensic accounting is no longer a thing. LOL. You guys suck today. Thanks for gloating over your true colors.
Gloating?
Gloating? Oh, my God. It's been noted. So disappointed. Trump doesn't care about us, and the right are lone rangers. Whatever, Blue Shovel. My patient is hairline thin after 30 years.
Blue Shovel.
Jesus.
Blue Shovel.
Blue Shovel. I didn't even pick up on that, Trudy.
See, everything's political.
Oh, my God. No, it is. It's like, honestly, I can honestly say the last week.
Good one.
You know what you're starting to see now, too, is remember how when the hearings for Amy Coney Barrett started, they took all the clips of everything they said back with Merrick Garland.
Oh, yeah, 2016.
They're doing it now, post-election 2016.
About counting the votes.
No, it's just about not to be, Hillary Clinton shouldn't be a sore loser. We should move forward.
Oh, yeah. Like,
contrasting them with their recent comments for certain people.
It does help.
Well, do they do that to the left, too?
Yeah, but it
helps. They could, sure.
When the left says, you know, oh, it's time for unity. And then, you know, remember when Trump got elected? I don't think people were feeling quite that way.
It does help to rehash things forever.
I think the left were kind of sore losers in 2016.
Yeah, whoever loses nicely, has been a sore loser both times.
You know what?
No, I agree. Everyone's a sore loser. I don't think it's limited to left or right.
Women get shit all the time for remembering everything and throwing things at people's faces. So, congratulations. You're all women.
I've had to stop a few people on the borderline because it's gotten a little ridiculous. Like 40 messages a day that are just extreme politics. And it's so funny how it goes back and forth. You know, one of them. Yeah. Oh, listen here. You fools just voted Kamala Harris as the next president. Fuck. Man. Here's this one. Your show is nothing but, it's really, wait, is nothing but Fox News. And then here's one. Your show is really closing in on Peter Werby territory.
Whoa.
Ooh.
It's
oh,
insane.
My God. What? Why? It really is a leap year. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I saw a huge leap today, and this was like, honestly, people just love this. It was so wonderful. It was a viral video of an 86-year-old woman who cried because Joe Biden won because she was so happy.
Oh, that's unstable. I saw her.
Because I get to keep my Social Security and Medicare. Wait, so how is she going to lose her Social Security exactly?
I'm going to lose mine. She's not going to lose hers.
How is she going to lose
Randon's
Medicare?
Randon's going to lose
exactly.
his.
I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but nobody said anything about that.
Well, she's 80.
I know she's 86, and if she's that happy, I'm happy for her. Whether, you know, she's being happy for no reason whatsoever, or no logical reason, it really doesn't matter. But it was kind of a... I got the feeling that people loved this video and loved playing it on TV because... you know, she was so happy, and no one really wanted to examine whether the reason she was crying made any sense at all.
Nobody wanted to fact check the poignant moment.
No, I like fact checking other things, but anyway, yeah. Let's see what else. What other delightful comments do we have here? Yeah, I've had a few emails saying, you know, maybe it's time to not do any politics at all. And to that, I say, I would love not to do any politics at all. But if you want to wipe out politics and you want to wipe out COVID, because COVID is like, I would love to never say the word COVID again or spend 10 seconds on COVID. But those two things are the most dominant things in any, I mean, if you want to
anyone's
call it pop
life.
Culture, news, information, internet, anything. Those two things. With political being number one, I would say. Both of them are evil topics. I hate them both. And if you want to take politics and you want to take it out, you have to take out a lot of other things too. It's not just politics anymore. It's like NBA, NFL, I think I sent you a text, Trudy. I swear to God, if I say the name Jimmy Kimmel in anything positive,
oh yeah,
I mean the ugliest. Like, how can you like that fucking Jimmy Kimmel? I mean, he is the worst person in the world now. If you're on the right, people on the right fucking hate him. They don't care if he says something funny that has nothing to do with politics. They hate him. Not everybody, but I mean, enough people. Your jubilation is way too early and a clear reflection of what side you're on. Maybe you'll admit your lack of due diligence soon. I'm curious to see what this link is going to take me to. By the way, didn't I say that I think I when all is said and done, Joe Biden won? I didn't say I counted the votes or I made sure everyone counted the votes or that there's no cheating whatsoever. I didn't say that. I think my gut feeling tells me that he's going to be president. I'm not trying to be a dick.
Is there outright cheating and fraud?
Well, don't go there. But I agree with what Chris Christie said. He's on the right. He said, hey, if there's something really serious, and I think Chris Christie was suggesting that Trump needs to move on.
Yeah.
He needs to.
Well, he's standing by, you need to bring evidence to this argument. Because
right.
That's when that makes that argument, you know.
Well, they're like Rudy Giuliani grabs a guy and he's like, this guy knows all about, you know, the voter fraud that's going on. He brings him up to the podium. He starts talking. And within like 2 minutes, there's news stories. The guy that Rudy Giuliani brought out is a sex offender. So, I mean, immediately that gets tossed aside.
Did you see how?
What does that
why?
Have to do, though? What he said have any if what he said was of any consequence, I would like to know. Him being a sex offender does not mean that whatever he said is not real. I mean, that's how I feel about it. I mean, I think we should know if there was something wrong. I just personally
he's always maintained his innocence, though, so maybe he's not the most honest.
He said
person.
That too.
I have not seen the one case that everyone is focused on. You know, that would sort of lead you to believe that maybe there's more. I mean, is there one thing that everyone's kind of focused on that is, you know, bigger than all the rest that would change a state?
The one that's getting the biggest happens to be the they didn't allow the poll watchers in. I think that's the one they're really starting.
Which I think is wrong.
But
at the same time,
that doesn't mean they're not counting the votes, though.
Yeah.
And John Oliver pointed this out, you know.
What? John Oliver!
Don't say the name John Oliver. There, here we go again.
I'm sorry, but he provided video evidence of it, so you can't really dispute that. But, you know, essentially
John
at the
Oliver
same
provided
time,
video evidence that every vote counter was being watched by poll watchers.
Well, they did stream
no,
it
he
live.
Didn't.
I mean, no. They did stream the vote counting live on the computer.
At every location?
And I know they did in Philadelphia.
Well, has someone watched
Brandon,
every one of those?
Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
I mean, basically, just,
watch your mic. Don't want to break
so
it.
He provided.
Okay, go ahead.
So he provided video where at virtually the same time you have all those protesters in Detroit screaming, stop the count. And when you shoot over the country to Arizona where Trump was barely behind, his same supporters were
votes.
Screaming, count the vote. Yeah. So
no, they're not his same. They're not his same supporters if they're in Michigan and they're in Arizona.
Sure.
They're not the same people. I mean, you can catch people in hypocritical comments, chants, whatever you want, and you can find people from the right being hypocritical, and you can find people from the left being hypocritical, and you can find things they said in 2016 that do not match up to what they said in 2019, and you can find people in 2016 who said that this man should be confirmed to the Supreme Court. And you can find people saying it's an election year and the voters should decide. And you can switch them around in 2020 because they all of them say the opposite, because one of them, one set is blue and one set is red. And they all said the same thing in 2016 and they all said the opposite in 2020.
But do you and this just a serious question. Do you remember this much of a challenge after 2016? Because
Russian disinformation. Russia threw the election in 2016.
Yeah, how many lawsuits were there, and how long did they stay in court before they
Russia,
were thrown out?
Nobody ever stopped talking about Russia. Okay. I mean, it's been Russia ever since. What, are you trying
Russia,
to say that
Russia,
the,
Russia.
Are you saying the right are worse losers than
collusion,
the left?
Delusion.
No, you're saying that. I just asked.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not, I think,
Russia hoax.
I think there's tons of sore losers on both sides. I don't think anyone's really not, worse than the other, necessarily.
That's not what I was asking. And I'm not disputing that.
Well, what do you mean? That there was less complaining about the election in 2016?
I know what I was...
This election is really unusual.
Never mind.
Different.
I don't want to go down. I'm not even going to ask the question if we can't even
well, no, I,
get
no,
to
I,
what I'm
I,
asking?
I don't mind discussing it. I honestly
well, I'm
don't.
Trying to ask the question. Do you remember a week after in 2016 that there was this much challenging and we're not going to accept the results and there's... I just
no,
I,
absolutely
I don't
not.
Remember that.
Absolutely not.
That's
I don't
all
remember
I was
that.
Wondering, however, and it was an honest question. I
this,
wasn't.
This
I also don't
has
remember
all
that.
These mail-in votes. It's very different election. There's COVID. There's not people going yeah. to vote in person, which
I think
is
that's
what
why
people are very
weirded out by it.
Yeah,
but,
they are.
But that was predicted
and
beforehand
also,
that it was going to take a while to count.
Well, that's great. There's and everybody's right. So they can all be right, but you know what? When people who are on the right see their guy winning for like two or three days
that.
And slowly like 1,000 votes every 12 hours or something are counted that push it the other way, then they kind of go, you know, this seems kind of weird. And everything that's coming in, well, some votes coming in, but they should all be Biden. Some votes coming in from this state, and they should all be Biden. I mean, it sounds terrible. It looks terrible. And some people just go, I don't know about this.
Once again, the Republicans did really well in this election.
They don't give a shit about that. Okay. I mean, they want Trump. I mean, I'm not asking for permission for that to be right. I'm just saying they don't. That's, I mean, you can say it's a mollifying thing, but if people think that the guy they voted for was cheated, then, you know, they go a little ape shit. And I got to tell you something. If this thing was reversed, and I hate doing what about, but if Biden was leading on Tuesday night in all those states, and gradually, as a tiny, like six votes are counted every 12 hours, which I still don't understand why it took so fucking long.
That's what happened in 2016, though.
What?
That's exactly what happened in 2016. Hillary was leading, and then all of a sudden, little by little, Trump
not over the course of days.
Not over the course of days.
This was over. This is over like 3 days. When did he win Pennsylvania and Georgia? I mean. Or Georgia turned on Friday, I think.
Friday morning, yeah.
I mean, it was slow. It was molasses slow, and it was gradual, like a few votes here and a few votes there. And so if people are going, boy, something's really weird about this, I understand that. I really do.
Yeah,
but my gut feeling – I'm sorry.
But the justification for that is that they were mail-in, like you said. That was a different situation because
no, it was
took
a totally,
longer.
Totally different. I totally agree with you.
And they counted one segment of them first, the people who were there, and then they counted the mail ballots later.
Well, some states do it
some
differently.
Did, yeah,
some people
did.
Counted. Right. Anyway, but my point was that if it was Trump winning for, or if it was Biden winning for 3 days, and then slowly, state by state, he suddenly lost, I think people would be really upset.
Are you kidding me? I think that, and I have no problem saying this, I have a feeling that all that stuff that was boarded up, like, that's the reason why they would burn, I'm telling you, burn a bunch of shit down.
And actually, you know, for all the claims, because everyone, I mean everyone on the left thought, oh, fuck, man, if we win, the right is going to burn this, you know, this country's going to explode. And everyone on the right felt like, oh, my God, if the left wins, or no, if we win, then they're going to burn up fucking everything. And nobody would say that they thought the other side was the one to be concerned about. Everyone is just like in their own blue or red bubble. And in the end, actually, I don't know, has anything been torn up? Or
it's
I
not
mean,
the end yet, but.
Well, it's. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Count all the votes. No.
By the way, are there still votes to count? I mean,
yeah, some
provisional.
Some states are not done. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, in the end,
I think but not enough to change
the votes.
No,
should be counted.
That's why the media could call it. But
what
the media
is wrong
doesn't choose
with
elections,
counting
so.
The votes?
But the idea behind that is
who? By
out.
The way, the people that say the media doesn't decide the president, I understand the point. But who do they think? Who are they used to calling the election?
Well,
where are they used to hearing it
that's
from?
That's what I was going to say. The point of that happening
town
is
square.
To allow the transition team to communicate with the current executive branch to work on a transition so it moves smoothly from president to president.
No, but who's supposed to...
This sounds very nerdy.
Who is it that they're waiting for to call the election?
The Electoral College, when they convene, what is it, December 14th?
But that's never a person, so it's always
no,
been
I just
the
don't,
media.
I just don't really remember. I mean, it seems to me usually we take it on the media because, generally speaking, it's worked pretty well. But, of course, you have two things going on here. One, the vote counting dragged so long, and things were looking red and then purple, and then they're all blue. And so... This is not me speaking in my own mentality. I mean, I had relative trust for the people who were, you know, and Fox News, too. The Fox News people are not disputing the results. Now, I think if someone brought some really good information about dead people voting or something like the Fox News, I have all the confidence in the world. They will fully investigate it. I mean, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind.
Yes, they should.
Yeah. And as far as the other people, I think they probably would, too. I mean,
instead, we have a huge, huge populace who only get their freaking news from Facebook. And what is Facebook filled with? It's just screenshots of televisions that are fake. There's memes that are all turning out to be debunked. But when this is your only source of information, you take that stuff for, you know, you basically accept it.
Well, once again, when there's an error, like the dead guy that voted here, mm-hmm. who would have been, what, 118 years old, and it was his son with the same name, but a clerk entered it wrong, just because a person's a dope.
Well, that's one vote.
And they make a mistake doesn't mean there's widespread fraud.
Right, not only that, well, there's I hate to sound like a hippie, but, or, can't we all get along? Right, Rodney King?
No, I have to tell you, I'm serious. I just feel like Joe Biden won. I don't know that. I mean, he was supposed to win by 10 points, and he's going to win by...
Oh, you're showing your true colors today.
2 points. He's supposed to win, it looks like it's about 2.8, which is a significant difference. But generally speaking, I kind of thought he was going to win. It looks like he won. Unless there is, if there's some huge fraud and he didn't win, then, well, okay, I'm wrong. But I have a feeling that on January 20th, Joe Biden will be sworn in as president. That's just my gut feeling. And that's
I can tell you right now, if this gets reversed, it will not go over well.
Oh, no, it will not go over well. It won't go over well at all. And I do understand when, you know, I mean, wanting to say there's no red states and blue states, it's the right thing to say. I totally agree with Joe Biden. But, you know, there's a lot of people feel like unity and, you know, being nice, really, after the last 4 years. I mean, it's really convenient to ask for it now, but I just don't think people are really ready for that. But, they, you know, things quiet down, hopefully. Simmer down.
I find things we all like together.
They always used to say we're a hairpiece.
To be honest, I really think a lot
of
people...
I think we'll be fine no matter who the fucking president is.
Well, you know, 4 years ago, the world was going to blow up. Nuclear devastation. Trump's crazy. He's demented. He's got dementia.
The same happened when Obama was going to take all our guns away.
Yeah. Which meant more gun sales, it always means... Whatever happens means more gun sales. It doesn't matter what it is.
If people start getting jobs, though, it would turn it around? Because isn't the lack of getting jobs kind of what started some of this?
And security.
And South Park
too
called
much,
it.
Too much free time.
Yeah.
I mean, are there a lot of people? I mean, I don't really see us in a recession where people are looking for jobs. I mean, isn't the unemployment pretty low?
No.
I think we're down 10 million jobs from the start of the year.
Yeah, which is a lot. Oh, but if you go through 50 states, I mean, then you're talking about 200,000 people in a state. If you're talking about a major city, it's less than that. Also a temporary situation. I mean, it's a very unusual economy. And the fact that we've survived COVID as well as we have is really pretty good.
Don't you think the vast majority of people have just said, okay, this is the way the election went. Let's move on.
I do.
Let's move forward.
And, you know, actually, I'd love to see a poll on that. Like, how many people have accepted what they are told the results are?
Sure.
I think the number would be higher. Well, I could be wrong, I'm surprised there isn't a poll on that. Because I think a lot of people, I have friends who are never Trump. I fucking hate, and honestly, every word he says, every point he makes, they'll tell you why it's absolute bullshit. And I know people who will say the same thing about Joe Biden. They're never Joe Biden. I hate Joe Biden. He's terrible. Here's why. Here's what he's going to do. You know, we're going to be communist in 4 years or whatever. I mean, both of these people and their advertisements told you the same thing, that if the other one was elected, it's the end. That this is the most important election ever, and it will be total devastation if the other person is elected. And that message goes to
a
lot of people.
Yeah.
Not every election.
It happens every election.
I mean, I think there are a lot of elections where they try to tell you it's the most important election ever. Sure. But this one, I think,
like
is a little more intense.
It's the most dramatic roast.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Same fucking thing every 4 years.
By the way,
The
Bachelorette is on Monday night. And Tasia, the first pinch hit Bachelorette.
Oh, we got to
be making her first appearance.
Get out of here so we can watch that.
I saw a story
excited about it, actually.
I saw a story, and the headline was Dale was trying to for TV fame, and the first line it is, he wasn't there for the right reasons.
No,
like, I don't know
Dale.
Who this dude is, but that made
me
laugh.
And he won on week two, which is so
there's
pathetic.
Almost nothing worse than being there for the wrong reasons. Almost nothing worse.
I mean, they were going to get married, right?
They're engaged.
They're still together.
They got engaged.
Still together.
They? Oh, please.
So
we didn't mention that Izzo has COVID. I know you don't want to talk about COVID, but Izzo has COVID.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just
and
odd.
He's, I mean, I would think there'd be a lot of concern about that because he's
sure
65 years old.
So does Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah, well. Yeah, there's a little worry that that event was a super spreader event.
Oh, God. But there's no worry about any of the celebrations for Joe Biden, which that was the last thing I read before I was ready to work today was, well, two things. I was in line at CVS for my prescriptions, and, okay, let's see what number one was. They were both related to Jake Tapper.
Acetamin Olsen, then?
Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, okay. Chlorpheniramine.
Okay, this is the one that just had one person send me this, and actually, this is fresh news, so this is not breaking news. But I don't know. I just couldn't help. Most of the stuff makes me laugh, honestly, because I find it so stupid. CNN's liberal anchor Jake Tapper was widely condemned on Monday. I don't know if he's been widely condemned, or if I don't know this. Kind of a strange way of putting it, but for suggesting that Trump supporters need to worry about how any future employers might see your character defined during adversity as the president continues to challenge election results. Some believe Tapper was making a threat, and others thought the left-wing newsman was being a hypocrite.
And the majority of people don't care either way.
Well, it's really a...
Who cares what Jake Tapper has to say?
It's really a... ridiculous thing to say that sure. Trump voters should watch out.
Sure, yeah, it's for, stupid
for showing their character during adversity.
It's dumb.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's stupid, but it's Jake Tapper.
It's really stupid. Yeah, but I mean, people have to take account for what they say. To be honest, I'm surprised any Trump voters would even be watching Jake Tapper. I mean, I was kind of curious as to is this a story? I mean, who's picking up this story? Is anyone really interested in the story besides Fox News? I mean, I think it's a really stupid thing to say, but widely condemned is it's significant. I'm not sure that a forensic accountant would agree that he's been widely condemned. And then the other one, and this one came from too many to count between direct messages on Twitter and just regular old email. Let's see. It's about coronavirus, 230,000 deaths, rightfully dominated much of the news cycle for several months. And the point is Jake Tapper and CNN's double standard on coronavirus. If CNN wanted to have more widespread trust and be listened to on things like coronavirus, they should apply their same condescending takes and snarky chyrons?
Chiron.
What's a chyron?
It's the
graphic thing underneath. Like when you watch the news, the things underneath that'll say like, you know, if Trump's having a rally, it'll be like, Trump says blah, 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 blah.
I thought that was a, wait, what did you first call it?
It's a chyron? Isn't that what
it's called? No, the second thing you said. I mean, sorry.
The graphic underneath?
Yeah, graphic. I mean, why is it a cryon now?
It's a chyron now because that's, I guess, the actual.
Is this a new word?
Yeah, it's the probably really? The technology.
How did I miss this? Uh-huh. Is it different than a graphic?
I think so. I mean, I would assume a graphic would be on the whole screen, but the chyron.
I mean, this is not nearly as exciting as festooned because I saw the word festooned like 2 weeks ago, and I was so pumped. I just want something to be festooned so I can say it. Right. And then the Trump Unity Bridge fortunately came along under unfortunate circumstances, but it was festooned with Trumpabilia.
Oh, I worked for that guy a couple of times, by the way. I did a couple of riff nights out there at his place. Whoa. Barnstormers.
Wait, the Trump Unity Bridge guy on Barnstormers?
Rob. Yeah, we talked about this last time we had him on.
Yeah. Chiron.
Is that the banquet hall?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I never thought of Barnstormers as a banquet hall.
Chiron is used generically, but it comes from the name of the company whose software allows TV producers to add the crawling words, phrases, or images to their broadcasts. So.
I just feel like I should have known this term. Did you know this term, Brandon?
No, this is the first I've heard of
it. Okay. All right. Does anyone have more trust me, listen to like on things like the coronavirus, they should apply the same condescending takes and snarky cryons about... Cryons? Is that a
Chiron.
Chiron. Chirons about death and selfishness to the people who went out yesterday. Referring to the Biden celebrations.
Right.
CNN was long accused of terrifying people around the clock coverage of the pandemic, and it was snarky chyrons blaming the virus. Can they stop using it? Blaming the virus on President Trump. Anchor shaming anyone caught without a mask or in a crowd. And pundits masquerading as scientists and doctors offering hot takes on COVID-19. But CNN is concerned about the coronavirus pandemic somewhat mitigated by Democratic nominee Joe Biden being projected. On Saturday morning, liberals flocked to the streets in celebration that the race was called for Biden, and the network has frequently labeled Trump rallies and White House ceremonies as super spreader events, was suddenly less concerned with massive events amid the pandemic. CNN left-wing anchor, left-wing, Jake Tapper appeared reluctant to come off as a nuisance to I actually saw this live.
What is this from?
Yeah, who's writing this?
This is from Fox News. But this is not something I only heard from. I mean, people independently have been bitching about this. And I saw exactly what Fox News is talking about here. And I can't say I was nearly as taken aback as they are. But CNN's concerns about the coronavirus pandemic appear to have been somewhat mitigated by Joe Biden being projected as the winner of the 2020 pandemic. On Saturday morning, liberals flocked to the streets to celebration that the rate was called for Biden. And the network that frequently labeled Trump and super spreader events suddenly less concerned. CNN left-wing air Jake Tapper appeared reluctant to come off as a nuisance to Biden supporters who were celebrating in the streets. We're also seeing people wearing masks, mostly wearing masks. They're not socially distancing. I hate to be a scold here, but we have the highest day of infection in the United States. It's good to see people wearing masks for some of them, but slipping off their face. People also need to socially distance themselves. The masks are significant, though they're the thing that doctors say are the most important, and the Biden celebration appears to have plenty of masks. Dana Bash chimed in, but I can see Sanjay Gupta having a lot of heartburn right now. Referring to the network's chief medical correspondent, Tapper agreed that a lot of public health officials probably have agita. Agita?
I don't know. Got
agitated? Is it some form of agitated? But again, they are wearing masks for the most part, Tapper reiterated. I mean, that really is bullshit. Tapper even specifically praised the voters in his hometown of Philadelphia. Philadelphians, realizing the significant role they played in this election, taking to the streets in celebration of the birthplace of liberty, we should say, in this country.
Bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I had to say hi to my friends. And after the throwaway couple of moments, admitting that these celebrations were in direct contradiction to guidelines, CNN went quickly back to marveling at the sights of so many partying in the streets. My university media critic, I love when they bring in the media critic. Who would be the media critic locally?
Oh, there isn't one anymore.
I think there is
Sminty.
One, yeah.
Sminty was great, but there's another one. Wait, he's doing a show on the history of Detroit right now. Tim Kiska.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Tim Kiska would be the person that would be consulted here, and I think he'd agree with media critic Jeffrey McCall. Feels the coronavirus has had political implications from the get-go. It didn't necessarily serve the interests of the citizenry, but it did serve the interests of shrill media voices and anti-Trump political opponents. Failing to criticize the weekend political celebration crowds after condemning Trump campaign crowds as dangerous just shows the inconsistency of the political activists. When Tapper expressed concern about being a scold, he acknowledged the varying standards on coronavirus danger exhibited in the mainstream media. A scold. Oh, actually, that's Jake's term. And honestly, it is, in my opinion, entirely stupid to treat it differently. And, you know, for some reason, the whole mask thing, and it's funny, when Mark came in, I asked you, I said, Mark, is social distancing not matter anymore? Because Saturday night, you know, it was
like a setup.
They're wearing masks. So it was like they were making excuses for the people partying. And
it's the most important thing.
This is a spontaneous event, so it's really not as bad as those Trump people. None of them wear masks. And when the reporter came back, he was in the streets, and people were crowding into the shot, and most of them were wearing masks, but not all of them were wearing masks. And he kept pointing out that people are wearing masks. Unlike the Trump rallies, people are wearing masks. And he said that there was more social distancing than there was at Trump rallies, as these people were fighting, crowding, I mean, desperately crowding to get in the shot. There was not more. I don't know why they would say there was more social distancing, because there weren't. It's just that the Biden parties were spontaneous. And that's different from premeditating, which is what the Trump people did. And I would say if Trump had won and these had been spontaneous, they would have been treated quite differently. So, anyway, it's okay. Jake Tapper. Great guy.
So you're saying CNN is left, which most people believe anyway.
I think their treatment of coronavirus is remarkably different.
A lot of people were very angry that they didn't have their death counter on. Like, I guess it's done. The death counter's gone.
They took
Friday.
The death counter off.
Wait, you got to be kidding me.
No, it was back today, but it was gone during the election coverage. And a lot of people were like, so convenient, it's gone.
It does take up a lot of space.
But it was I think it was back yesterday. So
I think between the BLM crowds and the Biden celebration crowd, it's pretty obvious that CNN wants to make excuses for people on the left when they're partying and having fun or protesting. But when people on the right are, you know, whether they're at the state capitol in Michigan or they're at a Trump rally, that is absolutely inexcusable. But there are excuses available when it's on the left, like
that's right.
Racism is more of a health danger than the coronavirus.
You're busted, buddy.
I don't know how you do that or how you quantify that, but I think the CDC actually might have said the same thing.
So we are officially busted. Ha ha.
So tomorrow, Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. And I got to tell you, Carl has been on fire. And among other things, he had the dust up between Sebastian Bach and Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Big J. Okerson. And I thought this was one of those all around extremely awkward things because Sebastian Bach, I won't even get into it. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
It has to do with bashing gay people and why either one of these were in the part of the conversation they were in. Well, you'll hear it tomorrow. Carl will have a cut. But the bottom line with Sebastian is if he's not fucking, he's rocking. If he's not rocking, he's fucking.
Yeah, clearly.
And then the stuttering. Sorry.
I was going to say that bitch Sebastian Bach. I've been trying to get him for the show. And yeah. I can't reach his talent agents unless you pay for a service to get through to his talent agents. So you must need money big time.
Wait, what would you pay for?
You have to pay for a subscription to be able to, like, you know.
To what?
To get to their agencies so that you can, you know, use them
An
to get
access
to their talent.
Paying for access like Fergie?
Paying for access, yes. Wow. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, Fergie got $500,000 out of that deal.
Yeah.
Have you ever been more delighted than to find out that Meghan and Harry are not good copy?
I was pretty delighted with that. That's
exciting?
Good. Maybe that'll quiet that down.
Oh, it will. Trust me. Stuttering John, per usual, made a very solid appearance on Who Are These Podcasts because Carl interviewed Heather. Heather is Stuttering John used to, and I don't know why he did this, but he used to put up the number of Patreons he had. I think they put it up on purpose,
mm-hmm.
You know, and normally it's just up because I think that's how Patreon does it, just to show you, you know, whether a show's successful or, hey, they need your help. Anyway, Stuttering John unfortunately had the the misfortune of having Carl repeatedly point out what the Patreon number was, which at last check, I think it was 7 people were contributing to the Stuttering John Show on Patreon.
Oh, man.
And he's depending on Patreon to make a living. And also there's been some discussions that SJ, in some of his contacts with his Patreon superfans, may have been asking for money for child support.
Oh, boy.
It sounds really grim.
Ugh. SJ.
So, I know. So Carl interviews Heather, who is a Stuttering John superfan. She is a Patreon donor. In fact, she is apparently his largest donor based on what he told her. So Carl does the interview, and I guess there were many disclosures that would have been quite amusing to hear. Carl, once as he's getting ready to post the thing, he gets a call back from Heather, who is really upset, and he can tell us more about it tomorrow. She had been threatened by Stuttering John because she, I think, just told him that, you know, I went on WATP to defend you or talk about you or whatever. Somehow, I don't know how Carl hooked up with Heather, but he recorded a...
How dare you!
...a fairly brief interview, and Stuttering John, because she told him... Emily came back and said that he would sue her. I think Carl, and Carl can be specific tomorrow, but I believe there were more threats than just a simple lawsuit. And he also informed Heather that he's recorded all their phone calls.
Oh, wow.
That he has her on tape saying certain things and that he could easily sue her to the end of the earth and blah, 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 blah. Oh, his biggest donor.
Yeah, nice.
His biggest donor and his only super fan.
Can't she counter sue for taping her without
see in court,
her knowledge?
Fuckface.
I don't know. And that was why I was most interested, because
no, you can record the president of the United States and release it if you want
to.
Yeah,
look at Omarosa.
You can record anybody.
Omarosa can record the president.
Depends on the state.
I think the only
yeah.
people who can't record are like radio morning shows. They have FCC rules.
So true.
Well, it depends on the state, but yeah.
But, you know, why? I just can't get past this. Why is it okay to record the president of the United States when you're calling him for, you know, fucking Omarosa? That dope can record, can mischievously, without his permission, record Donald Trump, the president of the United States, and put it out for all of us to hear. And I don't really remember much complaining about it. I mean, I could go on and on. We've talked about all these instances of people recording people without informing them. And then this, of course, and text messages, too. And now Stuttering John is recording his contributor and threatening to sue her. Mm. I mean, honest to God, it's like, I don't know why anybody feels safe saying anything to anyone, anywhere.
Well, California
anywhere.
Is a two-party state.
Would
so
that stop anyone from airing anything?
But it's illegal. She didn't know. So.
But how many people have been successfully sued?
Oh,
I mean,
I don't know.
You remember anyone who recorded anyone who was forced to pay them damages?
No, I guess not.
In the situation with Trump and Omarosa, she was having a personal conversation, wasn't she? Isn't that how that happened? Because isn't the difference that you're recording something on radio, which is governed by the FCC, by way of a telephone, which is communication?
I don't remember why she was recording him, but Omarosa, who has almost no resources, well, I don't know, maybe she does, is Omarosa, and Donald Trump is the president of the United States. I just would never dream that you could record a phone call without that person's knowledge and that person being as powerful as the president of the United States, and it would be on TV the next day, it would be everywhere the next day, and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. First of all, you can't stop it, and second of all, he can't even sue her. I mean, maybe he can, but I mean, it's out there, and the same thing with the quarterback of the Bills. You know, his text message, which is taken way out of context and appears to make him sound like the most racist, horrible person. Well, not the most, but a pretty bad, I mean, just sort of at least a sideline racist who plays quarterback on a team that is mostly African-American, and his ex-girlfriend just decides to put this text message out there, and he has no recourse. So, I mean, it's even gotten as far as Stuttering John recording and threatening his super fan, Heather. So the bottom line is Carl edited out the interview because he doesn't want Heather to be harmed. The Stuttering John story is just the most amazing thing. For someone, I know I've said this about someone else, and I won't repeat who, because they would be a local person, and it's a pretty strong statement. Stuttering John, in my opinion, has done more with less talent than anyone on the planet Earth. He made $400,000 a year working at the half a million a year working at the Tonight Show, didn't he?
Yeah.
As their booth announcer.
Ridiculous.
Because Leno wanted to try and reach the edgy Stern audience.
Yeah.
It was for no other reason. He had in no way, shape, or form earned that. I guess just Stuttering John on his staff. And Howard used him because he stuttered.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. And this guy, I mean, he was living in Calabasas.
In that episode where he goes off on Heather, his main guest that day was Anthony Scaramucci. Is Mooch becoming too available for everybody?
Yes.
Mark, he had James Carville on.
What?
Because people know who Stuttering John is because he was on the Stern Show and he was on the Tonight Show.
But
he's a zero.
Yeah.
Huh.
By the way, he pulled one of the weirdest name drops I've ever heard, and maybe Carl will bring that tomorrow, or maybe not because I've got to talk about it. But he actually mentioned that his ex-wife slept with Adam Sandler before him. And I think he felt that this elevated him, like, hey, Adam Sandler and I are fighting over the same chicks.
Oh, Jesus.
Versus 30 years ago at NYU. And then he went on to say that, actually, this is, I mean, it's supposed to be bad for, like, oh, my God, look at me fighting with Adam Sandler for a chick. But actually, it's 20 times worse for Adam Sandler, who, yes, like, oh, my God, I fucked the same chick as Stuttery John. Fuck! And then he goes on to say,
well, Adam should sue.
Like you said, how long ago?
30 years ago.
A little divergent path there.
And then John pointed out that the only reason she slept with Adam Sandler is because she wanted to get back at her boyfriend who dumped her.
Classy.
So that was nice.
Classy.
And then the final item on, and how far in are we, by the way?
Almost 3 hours.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. Oh, my God. I had no idea. It was this late.
9 o'clock.
It's 9 p.m.
Carl had the reply guys. That was the main subject of who are these podcasts this week?
Well, what are the reply guys?
These are two leftist feminist women who are stand-up comedians.
Yeah, they're comedians. And to tell you the truth, they're just not funny. They have no charisma. They have.
Oh, is that the one? Is that that clip you sent me?
That was one of the girls.
Yeah, not funny.
I looked it up.
Delivery's terrible too.
Because she was on. I was stunned. I mean, gobsmacked that she was on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Because she's not funny, but she's leftist, feminist, politically correct. She doesn't want to hurt anyone. And you know, this is a significant... Trudy, you can go if you want. It's 9 o'clock. Just
check your misogyny.
No, I got to ask Mark a question after. So.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can type it to him. This girl, both of them, is the most unfunny podcast. The fact that it's in the comedy category is... Did you listen to Who Are These Podcasts, Brandon?
Yeah, I listened to a big chunk of it.
Could you believe how unfunny these people were?
You know, just based on the clips that Carl had, and he had a lot of them. I mean, I couldn't find anything that would bring me to that show.
And it is, these people, these two girls, get lots of publicity. They're discussed often. One of them was on Stephen Colbert. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. Stephen Colbert... That's a national audience. I mean, that's a huge audience. And Colbert plugged her podcast on CBS to his, 2 million viewers? 2.5 million?
Is it that high? Yeah, sure.
So anyway, I'm thinking, oh, my God, she found fucking Colbert. You know, she's a big stand-up comedian, and I've never heard of her. And so anyway, I looked at the podcast. It has, 900 reviews or something, maybe 1,100, which is... I mean, that's abysmal for someone who's on national television and
there's a website here. I've never even heard of this site, but it's kind of a ranking site. So the reply guys, they have a listen score, whatever a listen score is. I don't know what a listen score is. Of 47 in a global rank of top 1%. I'm like, what? Top 1% of all podcasts? So I decided to look at
ours. Global rank?
So I decided to look at ours. Our listen score is 65. I assume that's better. And our global rank is the top 0.1%. So feel good about yourself there.
Oh, wow. 65?
What site is this?
ListenNotes.com. Well, a listen score is a metric that shows the estimated popularity of the podcast compared to other RSS-based public podcasts.
Listen to what? Listen.
Score.
ListenScore.com?
Yeah.
Just listen score?
Uh-huh. I thought you said listen notes.
Or listen notes. I'm sorry. I'm reading about the listen score.
Listen notes.
Sorry.
I've never heard of this. Owl Tail, which is like Owl Tail. Why is it called Owl Tail? Owl Tail will take you to you can punch in a podcast, like you can punch in ours, you can punch in Carl's, you can punch in any podcast, and it will show you, and I believe these are Apple numbers. I don't think they coalesce all the platforms. It's just the biggest platform, or maybe it's Spotify. Maybe there's some coalescing, but I don't think it's an official number. They will give you the top most listened to shows that podcast has ever had. So, which is interesting. And that's cool. I mean, we have our own numbers, but if you divided them by platforms, I wouldn't always know which platform, you know, something was listened to on. I do know that Adam Carolla was our biggest show in 2020. There's no doubt that Adam Carolla is a great guest anyway, in my opinion. I had no idea he was that big a draw. But it appears he is. And that Owl Tail is useful for that reason. And Carl, I noticed, by the way, when he talks about a radio show, those are his biggest shows. Howard Stern, Alex Jones, Man Cow, Rover's Morning Glory, whatever it is. People seem to like to hear radio people get shit on.
Yeah!
Even though it's Who Are These Podcasts. So Kate Willits is on Colbert. who plugs her podcast, the Reply Guys, you know, on all platforms, whatever. The reason that he plugged the podcast is because, and this is 20, was, Brandon, was it 2019, her appearance, or 2018?
I don't recall when she
I mean, it
was
wasn't recent. It was like significantly, oh, I could find out. My point was that she apparently had no stand-up gigs to
You could tell that she reference. Had not done much stand-up.
No.
Because it was just a bunch of, like, fire-off jokes that were just kind of, a few of them I would describe as cute, kind of like, but pretty obvious, pretty bland. It was, I don't know, it was not a good stand-up.
Did you think that there was applause and laughter piped in?
Oh, I don't know, but the crowd was not, I thought there was no applause or laughter.
I was, okay, this was, this has 166,000 views. 166,000. That's a lot of views for a horrible fucking, but she's on Colbert. So, and this is for, and again, this girl gets a lot of publicity. If you look her up, it's like, wow, everybody writes about this chick. She's kind of like Tig Notaro.
Yeah.
Who's not funny, but gets endless attention because, she's in that category of, I don't upset anybody. I'm just really nice, but I'm really funny too, which I think makes the comedy so much less funny. I mean, it's not about being funny anymore. Stand-up comedy is about being funny and not hurting people, not just about being funny. I know there are people who overcome that, like Dave Chappelle and various people, but, I mean, people are watching what they say, and this new group who openly says, I'm not trying to be funny, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and hopefully it's funny too. This is, anyway, this is 10 months ago. There's no COVID.
Okay, yeah.
She has no gigs to plug. So he plugs
Kate Willett, I was going to say, she performed the show January 8th, 2020.
So there was apparently no, because they always mention, I'll be at so-and-so, I'll be at so-and-so, I'll be at so-and-so. So she had no gigs to plug. So he plugged her podcast. And still, her podcast, The Reply Guys, is, well, I said 1,100 reviews or something, which you'd think you'd get 500 from being on Colbert alone. But anyway, I don't remember what the rank or what the reviews typically were, but the as far as being ranked, it has no significant ranking on any platform whatsoever. So my question was, because the Colbert, Mark, I swear to God, I thought they piped in laughter because I couldn't imagine that people were actually laughing that hard. It just wasn't funny. How did she get on Colbert?
I don't know.
I mean, it has to be because she's a leftist feminist comedian that, you know, she's in that tiny category of, I don't hurt people.
She was also on the Jim Jefferies show. She was a correspondent for the Jim Jefferies show.
She has a lot of credits.
Surprised
she,
by that.
I mean, she really does. It's like she's been on a lot of stuff where I go, what? But she's not even funny. She's not even close to funny. The podcast is really not funny. I mean, the podcast is horribly not funny. But not only that, she, the show has quite a list of, did you hear the credits at the end, Brandon?
I did not.
Brandon's getting bored.
No.
All right. You want to hit the outro?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did not know it was 9 o'clock. Oh, Jesus. I just, honestly, I couldn't imagine. How does someone like that get booked on Colbert?
She probably knows somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah, maybe.
But I thought you
maybe it's his wife's favorite podcast.
I thought you had to be uproariously funny to even get a chance to be on Colbert or Fallon or...
I don't think she'll be back on it.
Oh, no, I sincerely doubt it. But it's just kind of incredible. It's sort of like the Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, those are giant names now. Giant names. And I hear really... maybe the comedy category is just the wrong place for them to be, but I think that's where they want to be. Sophia, by the way, is dropping fast. The show we play clips from.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going down. The other one is holding up, though. I mean, they booked Miley Cyrus for her, and they booked her mom, too. Her mom was a good guest. I don't know. You know, I love Stephen Colbert. I really do, especially before CBS.
Yeah.
When I see them having people like Chelsea Clinton on, not because she's on the left, or this girl because she's on the left, she's not funny.
Yeah.
And that's when I feel like, the last man standing. It just seems like it's going this way. It's like this horrible train that you just can't stop. Trains don't have any brakes anyway.
It's not. There's still plenty of good comics out there.
Trains don't have brakes, if that's one thing we've established.
That's right.
It's a fact.
True. That's true.
Just a fact.
So true.
They didn't do buses either, remember?
Right.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow with Carl from Who Are These Podcasts?
Train! No!